Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Monday. It is May 20th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, police in South Jersey are investigating after video shows a man urinating on a memorial for a boy who died of cancer back in 2012. Mark Klopp, the father of Christian Klopp, says he was alerted to the video posted on social media of a man urinating on a memorial for his son, which is located at 129 Old Egg Harbor Road. His son passed away in 2012 from brain cancer. In 2014, a memorial was dedicated in his honor at a playground in Mays Landing. The incident in question allegedly happened Sunday morning. Some people in the community came to the park to help clean and disinfect Christian's memorial. I don't even understand this.
In all honesty, this is going to sound weird, but I feel sorry for this moron because he's you're such an idiot.
Such a moron. Yeah,
it's what do you get out of that?
Yeah.
What do you as a human being, what are you getting out of that?
I don't understand. Like,
I don't understand either.
Did he know what he was peeing on?
I mean, it was broad daylight.
Yeah.
So
was he drunk? Was that a can of beer that I saw?
Yeah, they had beer next to him.
Yeah. Here's the other part.
So if this guy did it on purpose, what's your deal?
There's something
is wrong. To see it was a memorial of some sort.
Right. Yes,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, it was clear.
Right. The other part of it is, as the father of this kid, I don't want to know. You know, so somebody like alerted him. Like,
You know what? I have it here. What the father said, like, is just. It seems like he's. Just listen. So, the people came out from the community. They helped clean it up. The Township of Hamilton Police said that two people have been charged in connection with the incident. 23-year-old Bryce Bellis is charged with lewdness, disorderly conduct, and criminal mischief. 23-year-old Daniel Flippin, who was the person filming the video, police say he was charged with having an open alcoholic beverage in the park. Both men have been released on summons. Now, Mark Klopp is the father, and he released a statement on his Facebook page after the incident. At the end of the day, the good outweighed and overwhelmed the bad. This is what Christian did during his life. He brought people together, and he has accomplished that again. Perhaps the playground will be beautified, more maybe expanded as a result. It doesn't matter as long as it is enjoyed by thousands of children in the future. It will. If you let anger prevail, we've lost the battle. Thanks again, everyone, for coming together and showing how great our community can be, especially in a time of political controversy. It reminds us what is important in life. Thank you again.
That's a great message.
Right? Yeah. Like, such a great message. I was thinking going into that, like, this guy's going to be so angry. Let me see what he has to say. And, like, it was just all positive.
There's not much more you can do to a guy who loses his son that
way.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. Yep. Philadelphia police say a woman barricaded herself inside her home in Northeast Philadelphia Sunday night. It happened in the 2600 block of Tremont Street shortly after 9 p.m. Investigators say the woman cut the gas line to her stove and was armed with a hammer. The woman was known to police. Officials say that she lives alone and has some mental health disabilities. Police declared the scene a barricade at 9:45 for precautionary reasons. The surrounding homes were evacuated. Police say Homeland Security was notified and a SWAT team was called to the scene. After the standoff was over, the woman was taken to the hospital for injuries sustained during the barricade. Police say that she will be committed to a mental health facility. Traffic alert for drivers. Okay, so I mentioned it in, traffic this morning. The Walnut Street ramp to go eastbound on the Schuylkill Expressway will be temporarily closed today. Beginning at 11 a.m., the ramp will be closed for 25 days for structural repairs and resurfacing operations. The construction is part of PennDOT's $103.6 million project to rehabilitate the Chestnut Street Bridge and seven other structures nearby, including this ramp. Drivers will be directed west on Walnut Street, then left on 38th Street to University Avenue, and then south on 34th Street to the eastbound ramp to the Schuylkill Expressway. PennDOT says if all goes according to plan, the ramp will reopen on June 14th.
So I was telling you, Preston, that they're doing a whole bunch of construction in my area, and they shut down a bridge over on Allen's Lane, and okay, I got this. So it's the other morning, and I came in. I'm maybe 3/4 of a mile from my house in a part of town I've never been in because I've been detoured. I put the freaking GPS on.
Yeah. To get home?
To get to here. I'm like, how do I get out of where this place, it looks like I was in front of a house that looked like Hogwarts. I'm like, where am I?
Yeah. Yeah, if you end up getting routed around your normal you got your path,
yes.
You take.
I've never veer off the path. Yeah,
my wife knows every back road and sideway to everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes she'll take me down stuff. I'm like, well, been here 15 years and I've never seen this before. You know.
I was just getting, you know, we've been 2 years in the area, but I'm like, where am I? Am I still in the United States? Where am I?
Yep. A girl I work out with at the gym, we were just chatting, and I'm like, where do you live? And she explained to me, I'm like, there are houses back there?
Yeah.
She goes, yeah, it's like a small little townhouse community, but in Conshohocken, and I had no idea it was there.
So look at this closure as a way to get around and see the neighborhood.
Go explore.
So it's the Walnut Street ramp to eastbound Schuylkill Expressway. They're saying hopefully they'll get this reopened by June 14th. In sports this morning.
Sacks are yummy.
Bryce Harper homered for the second straight day, and pinch hitter JT Realmuto also went deep to help the Phillies complete a three-game sweep of the Colorado Rockies with a 7-5 win yesterday afternoon at the ballpark. Harper hit a tie-breaking two-run shot in the sixth yesterday after hitting a 466-foot shot into Ashburn Alley on Saturday's 2-1 win. The 2015 National League MVP also had a first-inning single and an RBI groundout in the second. Up next for the Phils is a four-game series in Chicago against the Cubs. Jake Arrieta will pitch against his former team, while Yu Darvish will go for the Cubs. First pitch at Wrigley is scheduled for 8:05 tonight. Jaden Schwartz had a hat trick. Vladimir Tarasenko also scored on a penalty shot, and the St. Louis Blues moved within one win of the Stanley Cup Finals with a dominant 5-0 victory over the San Jose Sharks in Game 5 of the Western Conference Final. Game 6 is in St. Louis tomorrow night. Kawhi Leonard scored 36 points, including 8 in the second overtime, as Toronto beat Milwaukee 118-112 last night to cut the Bucks' lead in the Eastern Conference Finals to 2-1. Leonard made 11 of 25 shots and went 12 for 13 at the free throw line in more than 52 minutes of action, a playoff career high. Game 4 is tomorrow night in Toronto. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. We are ready for a new week. Welcome back, dear friends. Like I said, it's going to be 90 degrees today.
Yeah.
The weather the rest of the week is looking pretty good. We do have some afternoon thunderstorms to keep in mind. New Word of the Week prize, $500 Mealy's Furniture gift card. Pretty sweet deal. If you're looking for some new furnishings, this is really going to be great for you. So we'll get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week. Give that away on Friday, of which we'll be broadcasting live from Keenan's Irish Pub in North Wildwood, New Jersey.
Yes, we will.
Once again, so we're getting set for that whole thing. And
I'm sure your weather forecast.
Yeah. I'll have to check the shore forecast, but I can't imagine it's much different than mostly sunny and 81, maybe a few degrees cooler, which is perfect.
Yes.
So we have that going for us. The MMRBQ was just phenomenal. The best weather ever for an MMRBQ in my memory. I can't ever remember it being more perfect than that.
I loved it. Loved it.
God, we deserved that.
We honestly.
After the past few years.
6 years of rain?
Probably,
something like that. About that? Yeah.
At least, you know, if it wasn't flat out rain, it was kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
It was one of those days.
Or a passing shower or delays and blah, blah, blah. Still, we had great times in the RBQs past. But this is certainly much better.
It was fantastic. All right, before I run down what we're going to do on today's program, why don't we award a school that has been waiting all weekend the coolest teacher? It was Highland Regional High School in Blackwood, New Jersey. And we asked the student body to text in and let us know who they just thought should be the person that takes home this little commemoration of being a cool teacher the past year or so. Somehow or another, they've affected you one way or another. And they came through, and we do have a winner. So we are happy to say that the coolest teacher of the year at Highland Regional High School was Miss Christine Chioko. Now, I think that's how you pronounce her name. I'm not 100% sure. It's C-I-O-C-C-O.
Yeah.
Chioko. She is a social studies teacher. And let me see. What did we find out about her? She is the head coach of the boys' tennis team.
Wow.
And she went to Washington Township High School. She is from New Jersey. And that's pretty much all the information that I have on her. But we are going to, of course, welcome her to give us a call at some point this morning when it's convenient. And just tell us a little bit about the year and about yourself. And we would like to officially award you the official Preston Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug and a $50 whatacrockmeals.com gift card. Just a little memento.
Sure.
And a thank you from the students. So that, once again, is Miss Christine Chiococo. So congratulations, Highland Regional High School. Who's up next?
That's you, bro.
It's me.
Yeah, we've gone the full circuit.
All right.
You know, as you reach it in there, Preston, I'm wondering how many teachers consistently display their mugs on their desks.
Yeah.
I we've heard it is a bragging right thing.
Some people use it. Some people just set it out as a little reminder.
Yes.
Okay, so I've drawn a piece of paper. Let me take a look at this. Okay. Our next school that is chosen for the coolest teacher is Steinert High School in Hamilton Township, New Jersey. All right, so that is Steinert High School.
I've never heard of this high
school.
Neither
have I.
Me neither.
Hamilton Township, New Jersey. It is a four-year comprehensive public high school serving students in the 9th through 12th grades, according to its Wikipedia page. And part of the Hamilton Township School District. So we are putting it to you, dear friends, to let us know who you think the coolest teacher of the year was. So all you have to do is do the, okay, follow this format. Text the word teacher, space, then the teacher's name, 239333. One vote per phone number. So let me give you that number again. It's 39333. Text the teacher, text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name. Put a space in between those to 39333. We will give you 24 hours to vote, a little less. It's actually like 23 and a half.
Right.
And then we will reveal tomorrow morning who our winner is and give them the mug and the gift card and all the good stuff in it.
So on, about there, yeah. On average, you're thinking about 3 more weeks left of high school or 2 weeks? How long does it go?
Yeah,
into June?
So our graduation is June 10th.
Okay.
For Souderton. So a couple
three
more weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's us too. We have about 3 and a half.
All right.
I think St. Joe's prep finishes this week.
No.
Wow, that's early. Before Memorial Day.
I think
the way God intended
it. Exactly.
It's supposed to be done that way.
You go back after Labor Day, you leave before Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, Casey, my nephew goes to college in, goes to school in Colorado, and they're done this week as well. So some schools do it.
And they have pot.
And they do have pot. He's 9, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you know, they're very liberal out there, Nick.
But
nothing really kicks up that snack time like a good doobie.
So Steinert High School, actually, one of their graduates is a member of the United States Supreme Court, Samuel Alito.
Wow.
Is their most famous alumni. And, so an associate justice of the Supreme Court of the United States.
You know, it was good here, on the beginning of this, we sort of reached out to schools that were interested in participating. We would never have learned about this school, and it's right here in our area.
Well, hey, I got good news, folks. Miss Chia.
Stop it.
She's on the line.
What?
Shut up. Miss Chiococo is on there.
All right.
Chiococo. I got to make sure I get that right. So she called in immediately. She must have been waiting by the radio to hear her name chosen. Miss Chiococo, are you there? Hey. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, did I get your name right?
It's Chiococo.
Chiococo.
All right. That's a tough one.
And I'm sure you get multiple mispronunciations of that from time to time.
Yeah, we usually go with Miss C.
Miss C, yes.
Works for me.
There you go.
All right. So congratulations, first of all. What do you think about this honor?
I'm shocked. I'm honored.
Shocked and honored.
That's cool. How long have you been teaching at Highland?
Just in my second year there.
Wow.
You have made an impression in a short amount of time. That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. And how long have you been teaching altogether?
Just 3 years.
3 years and you're dominating already. You're making everyone else look terrible by your incredible ability.
That.
That's cool. Well, what would you attribute your popularity to?
You know what? I really don't know. I just try and be kind to everybody.
Yeah.
And spread kindness and positivity in the hallways and at school. So.
There you go.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Hey, when did social studies become an interest of yours? Did you care about it when you were an actual high school student?
Well, I had an amazing social studies teacher, Mr. Gorski, at Washington Township High School for my junior year, and he's the one that really inspired me.
Wow. Well, there you go. And the fact that, yes, I would you say you didn't press it in school.
I hated
you like
it.
Now you love it.
I hated it. It just it seemed boring to me. And you know what? One of my favorite teachers, actually, Mrs. Hedrick, was my social studies teacher. Just the subject itself.
Right, right.
It didn't lend too much interest to me. And now, with my kids, when they got to middle school and I started helping them with their social studies, homework, I'm like, wow,
this is interesting.
Oh, these guys created agriculture. all different kinds of things for agriculture to make sure that they had the proper, all these things, all these cultural things.
Your mind was open.
I never considered. The Malaysians, really?
Whoa. Malaysians, they're real?
I had no idea. I thought that was a made-up word.
Yeah, that's not a
country. The Revolutionary War, that was real. So you just learned so much.
Now I find this stuff interesting. But no, that's cool. So what do you have planned for the summer, Missy?
Just going to the beach and tanning.
Just going to the beach and tanning. Look at you. You're going to come back out. You listen, God bless you. If you have the ability to do that, go do it.
Yeah, tan away.
Remember sunblock, though.
Yeah.
And tennis in the end of the summer.
Okay.
And some tennis. Island girls team. Got to shout them out.
Okay. All right. Got it. Well, listen, we're going to set you up with the coolest teacher of the year coffee mug. What are you going to do with that, by the way? Steve was wondering what these teachers do with these mugs.
I'm going to display it proudly on my desk.
There you go. As well you should after just 3 years in teaching.
It's a good-looking mug. We haven't changed it in years. I love the design of it.
Yeah.
Do they change the Mona Lisa? I don't think so.
So you get that, and we're going to give you a $50 What a Crock Meals gift card as well, so you can enjoy some good eats on the students, okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, congratulations. Wow. It's here for Miss Christine Siaco, who is from Highland Regional High School. So nice job. And now we're on to Steinert High School in Hamilton, New Jersey. So let us know who the coolest teacher has been. Text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name to 39333. One vote per phone number. Sorry, I'm a little out of it. I'm a little tired. Did the Game of Thrones thing last night. Normally don't stay up that late.
I knew you were going to commit last night because how could you not? It's kind of a global event.
Yep, exactly. So,
and you're sort of a fan.
Kind of, sort of. Hey, by the way, we do have some guests on the show today. We're going to have John Waters on the program.
Yeah.
John is in town today, but he doesn't get in town till later on this afternoon. He's got an appearance tonight, so he's going to be giving us a call. But he will be at the Free Library at 7:30 tonight, and it's his new book called Mr. Know-It-All, The Tarnished Wisdom of a Fifth Elder.
Filth, I think, right?
Oh, is it a Filth Elder? I'm sorry, yes, Filth Elder. That makes more sense. So we'll talk to John around 9 o'clock, and we also have an announcement for a show coming up later on. We'll get to that around Bizarre File time around 8 a.m. We'll take a break, come back in a second. The Entertainment Report is next. Stay with us.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Stupid question this morning. Going to give away a 4-pack of the Big Apple Circus tickets, and that's at the Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks. So the question I have for you this morning is this. Which Beatles album cover features the band wearing epaulettes?
Oh.
215-263-WMMR. I'll spell that for you. EPAULETTES. Okay, so which Beatles album cover features the band wearing epaulettes?
Looks like Tasty Cakes.
I guess that's how you pronounce it. So, no, they're not Tasty Cakes. Call right now, and we'll see if you know the answer, and I'll go through some birthdays today. Today is Monday, May 20th. She stopped by not too long ago, turned 73 years old today. Cher has her birthday.
Happy birthday to me.
I guess, there was a time when she was nominated for an Oscar, right?
Moonstruck.
Yeah.
She won.
Did she win it?
She won. Okay. Nick, what did she win an Oscar for?
I think it was that.
Yeah, for Moonstruck.
There we go.
She was also nominated for Silkwood.
Yes. Silkwood, that was it.
She was the lesbian friend of Meryl Streep.
I got to guess that she can't act anymore because of all of that work that has been done on her face. And she can't
show emotion.
She can't emote anymore. You know?
She looks like she was in the reactor during the China syndrome. But does she even want to anymore at this point? You know, the last, she was very funny in that, and
burlesque.
Stuck on.
Sorry.
Burlesque is one of my guilty pleasures.
I know.
You know I love burlesque.
But Stuck on You, she was great.
She's great. She's dating Frankie Muniz, right?
Yeah.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Yep.
Burlesque is a guilty pleasure, Preston. You should check it out.
She's 73 today. Busta Rhymes.
Wow.
Has his birthday. Yeah.
Don't you have that rapid fire?
I do. But
Yeah.
I gotta find. I think
Casey says this is possibly the fastest rap he's ever heard. Right?
You know what though? My son had me listening to something yesterday that it might be called
True Life Crew.
No, but it might be called like the best rap ever, and it was. It was definitely comparable. I don't. I wish I could remember the name.
Well,
of
don't
it,
worry about it.
But this one,
hit it.
Cause I'm feeling like I'm running and I'm feeling like I gotta get away. Better know that I don't and I won't ever stop. Cause you know I gotta win every day. Go! See, they really wanna pop me. Just know that you
eventually
gets me.
Really going.
This is played on me.
Gotta set it, then I gotta go, and then I gotta get it, then I gotta blow, and then I gotta shut it. Any little thing and think that he be doing, cause it doesn't matter, cause I'm gonna dead it. Then I'm gonna murder everything and anything about a boom, about a bing. I gotta do a lot of things to make it clear to a couple that I always win, and then I gotta get it again and again and again.
I like how there's a bleep in there. Like, yeah. I'd be able to tell that
there's
exactly.
a guy. Exactly.
It's wild because that ran over the closing credits of Schindler's List.
No.
It's wild.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, you don't notice.
Yeah.
You're so emotionally spent.
Busta Rhymes is 47 today. Cindy McCain is 65 years old on The View currently, right?
No, that's Meghan McCain.
That's Meghan McCain.
Cindy's right. The mother, right?
Oh, that's the mother.
The mother.
Yeah, mother. She is 65 today. Bronson Pinchot.
What's going on with him?
Balky. He turned 60 years old today.
60, wow.
How about that?
For some reason, I thought he was older.
I don't know what he's up to. He's a weird dude.
He is a weird dude. He was on the Surreal House, I believe.
Surreal Life.
And that's where you were like, oh.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He's kind of a pervert.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? He had a show on like DIY Network where he was like restoring an old like house.
Was he good? Did he have capabilities or was it just perfect strangers restores a house?
It's more like his personality and vision and then other people do the work. I wish I could remember
name
of
it. You know who did a similar show though who is actually really good is Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's a carpenter.
Yeah.
He just gave him ideas pretty much. Anyway, it was called the Bronson Pinchot Project.
Yeah.
What a creative title.
It really went creative.
He's a genius.
It.
Yeah.
So he's 60 today. Timothy Oliphant. Is that how you say his last name?
Yes.
He's 51 years old today. Deadwood, Sex in the City.
Deadwood's coming back?
For a movie, right?
Yeah.
I'm curious as to, you know, how they'll do it. I've watched the trailer. It looks really cool.
I loved it. I loved it on its original go around, and the show was actually doing well, and then they stopped it. They just stopped it in its tracks.
Yeah, it's weird. And then, speaking of HBO shows, Jack Gleason, who played Joffrey Baratheon, has his birthday today.
Ah.
And he is 27 years old. And Casey, or was it Nick, or somebody was saying that he hasn't done too much after. Actually, he doesn't have done anything after Game of Thrones. And I think he may be typecast because he was such a little douchebag, evil little bastard.
Yeah.
He may not be able to play any other character that way. And the word is, actually, he's a really nice guy.
Like the nicest kid on set.
Yeah, which is too bad.
Yeah.
And you call him kid, he's 27.
I know, yes.
Who is the son in the original John Wick? What character did he play on?
Oh, Theon Greyjoy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. The little bastard in that movie. Yeah, and he's a little weird dude in Game of Thrones.
And
as
Steve,
well.
You would recognize Jack Gleason from Batman Begins. He's the kid.
Yes,
looks up and sees the Dark Knight for the first time, and then
Christian Bale gives him a batarang or something like that.
Yeah, that's Commissioner. No, on the street. Okay, yeah, I got it. Yeah,
yeah. It's just
that
it's
I a even real, said it's a, anything.
It's a real quick moment. So Jack Gleason, Joffrey Baratheon, one of the most evil little. Oh, I can't say it without dropping an F-bomb or something. Right.
Say it and hit the dump button. Do we know if it's a dump button?
No, I'm not risking it.
We're not sure it's hooked up these days.
Anyhow, he's 27 years old today. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question this morning. So which Beatles album cover features the band wearing epaulettes? 215-263-WMMR is the number, and I am going to go to Gabriel. Gabriel, good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? Gabriel, what album cover are we talking about?
Sergeant Pepper.
You got it, bud.
Yeah. So we're assuming military garb and accoutrement?
Yeah, the epaulette is the little frilly thing on the shoulder.
Yes, of course. Oh, those, I forgot that.
Those little things that hang down there.
Yep. Listen to this.
Those are the epaulettes. And since he got it right, we are going to set him up with a four-pack of Big Apple Circus tickets. Don't miss the all-new Critics show that the critics are calling magical and astonishing. Big Apple Circus is back now through June 16th at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks, and tickets at BigAppleCircus.com. So congratulations. By the way, the term epaulette in French means little shoulder.
Little shoulder. That's adorable. That's and also nonsensical.
Translates to. Okay, at the box office over the weekend, Avengers Endgame has finally been knocked out of the top spot, and it is by John Wick 3. Ended up taking that. The first John Wick had earned $43 million total domestically. The second earned $30.4 million on the opener, that is. And then this one did really, really well and took in $57 million plus.
Solid take, yeah.
Followed by Avengers Endgame, which still made $29 million.
Yep.
I was just pissed off because I wanted to see Endgame in 4D on Friday night, and it's not available 4D anymore because John Wick's 4D over at King of Prussia.
So of the two, I think you'd want to see Endgame more in that 4D. Now, John Wick is great, but there's more opportunity with Endgame.
And I tried to call the operator. By the way, now that everybody's on like phone systems now, like people don't have like phone etiquette anymore. So like I had a hard time trying to find out if Endgame was ever going to be available in 4D again, or if I just lost.
That opportunity forever.
All right, so
seize the moment. Tell someone you love them.
Avengers Endgame was second, followed by Pokemon Detective Pikachu, A Dog's Journey, The Hustle, The Intruder, Long Shot. The Sun Is Also a Star. Palms was ninth, and then rounding out the top ten with Ugly Dolls. So, a lot of TV last night. Mentioned Game of Thrones wrapped up. Really not going to cover any of that because, I mean, we may talk a little bit about around it,
yeah.
but not diving right into it. But...
But how did it end?
American Idol ended last night.
Oh, yeah. Yes, oh, my God.
Sure, you were all over that, right, Case?
I actually watched I watched it until 9 o'clock, until it was time for
Game of Thrones. Game of
what
Thrones,
season so. Is this, Casey, for the one that just wrapped up?
17th. Sorry.
Can you imagine, so you're on that show. Last night, you were named the winner, and now begins your life of complete anonymity.
Yeah.
So a three-hour extravaganza was filled with live
three
music.
Hours.
And familiar faces, yep. Wow. In addition to the three remaining contestants, Alejandro Aranda, Lane Hardy, and Madison Vandenberg.
Remember those names, because no one else will.
By the way, Casey, did you see who won?
I did.
Okay. A number of eliminated singers also returned to perform the finale. The finale featured collaborations between Dan and Shay and Vandenberg, as well as John Party with Hardy.
John Party with Hardy?
Yeah, Aranda came through with an unforgettable solo performance of his own. Last year's winner, Maddie Pope, I think is how you say her name, or Poppy, who was controversially not invited to perform on the season finale, made a brief appearance to plug her new album, Whirlwind, release on Friday.
Oh, she was not invited.
So the winner was Lane Hardy.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That is amazing to hear that news.
I will say, though, that Madison Vandenberg,
of course,
who came in third, I wouldn't be surprised if you heard from her in the future.
She is
a powerful, powerful vocalist, and she's only 17 years old. I was surprised that she didn't win, but, like, America doesn't know what they're doing.
Well, listen, so, Jennifer Hudson didn't win, and she is incredible.
Yep.
And very, very, she's had a very successful career. So, anyhow, as always, the final elimination was saved for the end with the lights dimming on Aranda and Hardy one last time. After a nationwide vote, Lane and Hardy was crowned the new idol, earning a recording contract with Disney Hollywood Records. He closed out the show with his uplifting new single called Flame, having impressed the judges earlier in the night with his takes on Hank Williams' Jambalaya on the Bayou and Mark Broussard's Home. Hardy's victory was somewhat surprising for fans of Aranda, who has been considered the front runner for weeks leading up to the finale.
So the good money was on Aranda and not Hardy.
Surprisingly, though, because Preston, I actually showed you that guy, Alejandro. I showed you his audition because I was like, it was a really, really solid audition. It was an original song, and I thought it was really well done. But then after that, I was underwhelmed, and I really, really did like him, and I was pulling for him, but I was underwhelmed by him. the entire run of the show. Mm-hmm. This Madison girl was I think one of my favorites. Her, this guy Walker, and this other guy Jeremiah. Those were my three favorites.
I just can't.
Here's the deal. For how many years? I like vocalists.
No, I know you do. For how many years though? If you just take it as a game show, which is what it is.
That's all it is.
Right, and stop the pretense that these are going to go on to be superstars, which is statistically not even remotely a good chance.
For the same reason I watch John Wick, and we watch John Wick, and we love it, and we can check all that stuff at the door and just accept it for what it is. I enjoy listening to people sing, good singers, and that's why
this is your show.
And that's why I watch that, yeah.
All right, so this one's in the books.
All right.
Wait till next season, see if they are they going to do it?
Yeah, next season starts next Monday.
So. Yeah, right. America, you messed up.
So this happened on Friday after our show was over. Kim and Kanye named their baby.
Ooh. Oh.
Saw the name.
The baby's name is Psalm.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God.
Psalm West.
Psalm.
Like the biblical psalm?
Yes, exactly. Like the biblical psalm.
Is that how they...
S-A-L-M.
Yeah.
Yep, okay. That's it. Mm. Well, the name obviously is...
Or as he says, P-Salm.
Biblical in nature. Many were left scratching their heads about what precisely it signifies.
Why didn't they call him Beatitude?
Beatitude?
Yeah, I mean, that's like a biblical thing, and it's got the word beat in it, right? And he's a musician. That would have been way better. Although Psalm is a song.
I've never heard the word Beatitude.
Oh, really? Yeah, blessed are the poor in spirit and that whole thing?
No. That ain't my wheelhouse. Sorry, bud.
Me neither. I couldn't finish it.
People talked to insiders who said that it was apparently an honor to Kanye and Kim's spiritual practice. A source said Kanye has been going through a spiritual revival lately. Every name has a meaning that is personal between Kanye and Kim and the child. A source also said that Kanye had a meaningful name ideas weeks ago before Psalm arrived on May 10th. Psalm, by the way, means song in Hebrew. That's kind of nice.
Yes.
The source continued, Kanye is very involved in choosing the names. He and Kim do exactly what every couple does when they each bring up names and the other one gives feedback. It's very traditional that way.
I like it.
Kanye would never just choose a name that Kim doesn't like or vice versa. The names are things that they mutually agree upon.
Why not Toe Tapper?
I would hope so. Kanye landed on Psalm specifically because he identifies with King David, the source said.
He does?
Says David was a mess, always falling into sin and messing up, but the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart, and Kanye loves that.
So Kanye holds these sort of quasi... services.
He's
now.
Been holding weekly Sunday services.
Yeah.
I really enjoy watching them. Like
they look pretty cool, actually.
They look awesome. And I think I want to say that he just sort of started them like quietly, wasn't trying to like
make a thing
about it. But yeah. They were so great that they ended up on the internet.
And Kim has previously said that they have served as a healing experience for him, these services that he does. So he's leading, he's preaching.
He sort of leads a little bit. Yeah, it seems to be.
He's singing like because it's like a big, yeah.
It's like the end of American Idol, Preston, with the choir and the whole thing.
I don't see any preaching. I've only seen the songs, right? So I don't know if there's actual, I don't think he's up on a pulpit.
A Sermon on the
like
Mount?
That. Yeah, yeah. I think he's just like.
Can
I
hear me?
So you think it's just musical in nature?
Yeah, I think it's. Okay. The only thing I've seen is him leading like a giant choir and a band.
And the bounce house.
And no bounce. Well, I don't know what's behind the camera, Steve, so.
Kim is delving deeper into her spirituality as well. The source says, I know that both of them read the Bible regularly now. Kanye loves the book of loves the books of poetry of the Bible, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. He reads them over and over. Psalms is the longest book in the Bible, but Kanye believes that there's a lot of wisdom in them.
The Bible, Psalms is like the Double Live album.
Okay, so Psalm joins Saint, Chicago, and North to the list of names.
Psalm bitch.
Jeez.
That's what I think of.
Add that in there. Yeah.
What is that from?
Some bitch. That's from Smokey and the Bandit.
That's what it is.
Some bitch. All right, so this was fun to watch. A man in South Africa assaulted Arnold Schwarzenegger. It was very bizarre. Video posted on Twitter showed a man rush past a 71-year-old security and land a flying side jump kick.
Like both
to
feet.
Arnie's back.
Yeah.
And the guards came in and just tackled him, detained him, and got him out of there right away.
So you know how big Arnold Schwarzenegger is. You know how big his guards are going to be?
Oh, yeah, yeah. the guy didn't, he didn't even knock Arnie over.
No.
You know, so Arnold wasn't hurt, thankfully, or anything like that, but it was just bizarre.
Audio of the encounter, and you can kind of hear Arnold go,
despite the man's running start, the former governor apparently uninjured by the attack, later posted a video of himself greeting fans on Twitter while adding in a subsequent message that he thought that he had been jostled by the crowd. He said, thanks for your concerns. But there's nothing to worry about. I thought I was just jostled by the crowd, which happens a lot. I only recognized I was kicked when I saw the video, like all of you, and I'm just glad the idiot didn't interrupt my Snapchat. Here's a clip of
it.
Well, I don't know why this guy did that.
Well, he's screaming, help me, I need a Lamborghini.
Is that what he said? That's,
play it again. You hear me say it at the end.
Back it up just a little bit.
Help me, I need a Lamborghini.
Okay, I couldn't understand. Help me, I need a Lamborghini. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Help me, I need a Lamborghini.
I hear Appletini.
No.
Okay, back it up. I need an Appletini. Okay. Could be. Help me.
Yeah, Appletini.
That man needs an Appletini.
He either needs a drink or a car.
Yeah.
So maybe he did it on a dare. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
And that sort of stuff pisses me off and scares me a little bit. If you remember, like, John Belaris years ago was down the shore just minding his own business.
Schwarzenegger jumped on his back.
No, somebody walked up and peed on his leg and said, hey, John, looks like rain. And I'm like, that's a douchey thing to do to somebody.
It is, but that was pretty damn funny.
Well, I mean, but if it happened to me, it wouldn't be funny.
Oh, no, I'd be livid, absolutely. Yeah. But it's John, and we know him, and it's funny.
So it's funny.
A second video of the attack posted by the actor himself from a different angle showed that the man failed to even knock Arnie off with the flying jump kick.
It's a flying jump kick. It's both feet hit his back, Arnie just gets shoved a little bit.
Yep.
And then, of course, those are Arnie's guards.
Mm-hmm. So they got that guy. I don't know what his deal was. Maybe
well, they gave him a Lamborghini, Preston.
Oh, good. And an Appletini.
Yeah, there you go. We couldn't understand, so we got you both.
Here's a Lamborghini.
Look
there
in the cup holder. In the cup holder there, an Appletini.
That's a great idea.
This is a great day in my life.
That could be a promotion. Lamborghinis and Appletinis. Some kind of party that we have.
Sure.
All right, so Jennifer Garner is trying to figure out what the future holds in her relationship with John Miller, according to E.T. The pair had reportedly decided to slow down their role after an intense beginning, but it seems that
you two think you're gonna get married.
Their romance is gathering steam again. Yes, a source tells E.T.
We got how long we two went together.
In March, Jen and John decided to slow things down a bit.
Are you the guy who has the robotic hamburger makers?
And Jen, what's that?
He missed. The guy has a company that makes robotic hamburger
meals. Oh,
I remember.
I've forgotten who this guy is.
You forgot about him, didn't you?
John Miller. Jen was focused.
Did you forget about me?
No, I'll never forget about you, E.T. Jen was focusing, because you're always right here.
Right here in your heart.
Yeah.
Turn on your heart light.
Jen was focusing on the kids, her career, and co-parenting Ben, adding that Jen and John are so compatible.
You guys are very compatible.
Are you looking for the music? Because we needed to bring it all home.
Music?
How did
it really sells the impression.
Shouldn't it be under E.T.?
It should, but
why would you do that? Why would you put E.T. music under E.T.?
It was under E period T period.
E period T period.
All right, so
I'm here to interview both of you.
The source continued.
I come from a land far away in another galaxy.
They have great.
I'm a botanist.
They have great chemistry and truly love each other's company. In the last couple of months, while they've taken a little time for themselves, they have missed each other and both realized they wanted to spend more time together. Miller's also reportedly comfortable with her celebrity status, and her friends love him. They started.
How kinky does it get when they do?
They started.
Does he use those robots to pleasure you?
Dating last summer.
They do on my homeworld.
By the way,
what are you doing that?
I haven't been with a female ET in years.
Yeah.
My robot gets me off.
They're tough to find. All right, so this is sad news. Legendary comedian Sammy Shore died at the age of 92.
Yes.
He founded the Comedy Store and also happens to be the father of Pauly Shore.
It's a great loss.
Oh, no. Paulie took to social media to commemorate his father. He said, I'm saddened to let everybody know my father, Sammy Shore, recently passed away at the age of 92 from natural causes. He said, my parents divorced when I was 3 years old. And even though my mom was the one that raised me, my dad still provided for me the best he could. He went on to say he came to Little League games, holidays, and birthdays. My dad sacrificed a lot of his career for his family, even though all he wanted to do was be on the road and tell jokes and be free.
Sounds like a good man.
I guess he was. 92.
To be honest, I thought he had passed away years ago.
I knew
92.
She,
I know
I
she had.
Did. Yeah. I didn't. I wasn't aware of his fate, but yeah, so feel bad for Paulie. Sophie Turner.
Yes.
Game of Thrones. Sansa Stark gives her husband, Joe Jonas, credit for saving her life when she was, quote, mentally unwell.
Joe Jonas saved her life.
Yeah, the 23-year-old tells the Sunday Times that he gave her an ultimatum when they first got together 3 years ago. She said, he was like, I can't be with you until you love yourself. I can't see you love me more than you love yourself.
And if you love yourself, please record it on your phone.
She said, that was something, him doing that. I think he kind of saved my life in a way.
Shows he cares.
He told the Sunday Times that she was desperately unhappy, and a complete mess, and even considered suicide at one point.
Wow, you're learning all this dark stuff about the cast, what they were going through all these years.
Finally, she sought therapy and slowly but surely found her way out of the darkness. Mm. And she's going to be a Nick who just pulled up. Yeah, the Dark Phoenix is in theaters June 7th.
So, coming out,
she's,
yes.
She's Jean Grey in that.
Yeah. I hope. The last one was okay. There were some good elements
was
to it.
Was it the apocalypse one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was okay.
I ended up liking it.
Yeah, yeah. But the this I hope this really delivers. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. All right, the 48th feature from Woody Allen. A Rainy Day in New York has been pulled from distribution by Amazon following renewed accusations
pervert, right?
of sexual assault. However, the film is still being released in Europe and Japan, and the first trailer from the film has been released. So it's Elle Fanning, Jude Law, and Timothy Chalamet.
To be honest, there's so much of the stuff that he's done over the past years has been so boring, and I don't know. I just, you know, I hate to be like, there's a scene in his version of 8 and a Half. I forget what is the maybe Stardust Memories. Where the aliens land and say, why don't you make funny films like you used to make?
Oh,
you
really?
Know? Yeah. So even he knows. Yeah. But he gets so into the artsiness, and it's a microcosm of the kind of people he hangs out with, and it just there's no connection.
There was one that came out in 2011 called Midnight in Paris with Owen Wilson.
That was good.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. But
that was a lot more whimsical than his usual stuff.
But Blue Jasmine, I tried because we got the screener copy for the SAG.
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
Man, it just was, I didn't finish it.
Yeah, I was the same way. I watched a little bit of it. I'm like, this is going nowhere for me. So, all right, one last story.
Blue Waffle was good, though.
Blue Waffle.
The sequel.
Yeah.
One last story. About 18 million tuned in to watch the final and 279. Ninth episode of CBS's The Big Bang Theory last Thursday night, so the numbers have come in 18 million or so. The finale scored 3.1 rating in the 18 to 49 demo group in its two-hour finale. It was, by the way, the longest-running multi-cam comedy in U.S. television history and managed to eke out the highest entertainment series in its final year in total viewers.
So they did a cool thing, and I think they probably should have done something like that with Game of Thrones, but they did, so they did an hour episode. And then they did Young Sheldon, which was sort of a prequel to all of the history of all their characters, which was cool. And then they did a half-hour review of the show and moments and behind-the-scenes and showing you sets and all that stuff, and it was pretty cool.
Well, Game of Thrones is doing a full-on behind-the-scenes
thing cool.
That's coming up. I'm not sure the date. They hit it right after the episode aired last night, but I tried to get a beat on when that's going to be coming up, and I'm not 100% sure, but, you know, it's HBO, so it'll run a few times. But that should be really, really good.
And Paulie Shore is hosting, you said?
Yeah, he's the one who's hosting the whole thing as the Weasel character.
Yeah. Buddy.
By the way. All right, we're ready for the clips. DC's Legends of Tomorrow follows the Time Masters traveling through time to defend their timeline. In this clip, Arthur Darvill, who plays Rip Hunter, gets excited about DC, highlighting the smaller characters. Here we go.
They've brought a bunch of characters, kind of a lot of them are kind of the lesser known. I'm really glad that the Rip Hunter is being shown on TV because he's such a kind of minor DC character that was explored to an extent, and I think there's so much further that it can be taken. So I feel quite honored to be given that challenge.
Shut up, dummy.
Season 4 finale of DC's Legends of Tomorrow airs tonight, 8 o'clock. That's on the CW.
When they first came to me, it's a ripper, and they said, his character's going to be this way. I thought, it's going to be compelling, because he's a comic book, he's a limited character. It's just a paycheck is what it is.
Here's the next clip. The Enemy Within features an FBI agent who must work with a traitor to catch a fugitive. In this clip, Morris Chestnut discusses the trouble of handling emotion while on the set.
I've had emotional scenes, and it's tough because you get on set, you become like a family, and you're working with a huge ensemble cast, and everyone's happy and having fun and talking about what they did the night before, but yet I got to go sit in the corner and stay in character because I have a lot of emotion come up.
Shut the f*** up!
Season 1 finale of The Enemy Within airs tonight, 10 o'clock. That is on NBC.
Is that the one your wife has a crush on?
No. Not him, and man, I forgot the actor's name, and I forgot the show.
Is it CSI or
no,
SWAT? No,
it's not CSI.
NCIS?
It's the one with Joe Mantegna and...
Cold Case!
Cold Case. Yeah, baby
what
girl.
What other one?
I forgot the actor's name. I think it's Cold Case. Yeah, I think that's it.
There's too many of those shows.
I know. There's a lot of
Criminal
them.
Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds. Yeah. Damn it, I lose.
Oh, you are
damn,
so
I bet it all.
You bet it all.
Damn it, I bet it all.
Oh, man. And the actor's name is Shamar Moore.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you
good
go.
Good looking dude.
He is a real good looking dude. All right, and there you go. That's what I got for you in the Entertainment Report. We're going to have to take a quick break, but not before I give away the last of the movie screening passes for the Hot Zone we have. The screening is tomorrow night. And it will be at the Ritz of the Boers, and I can take five callers right now, 215-263-WMMR. You need to be there no later than 6:30 because the movie starts at 7. Listeners, complimentary popcorn and soda. Casey is hosting it, presented by National Geographic, and it's a three-night limited series inspired by the true events surrounding the origins of Ebola and its arrival on U.S. soil in 1989. It premieres May 27th on National Geographic, but that's tomorrow night, so if you want to go... give us a call right now, 215-263-WMMR. We chose another high school. It's Steinert High School in Hamilton, New Jersey.
Yeah!
Who needs to vote for the coolest teacher of the year. We had a winner a little while ago from Hylam Regional, and that was Miss Christine Sioko. And now we're going to find out who at Steinert is the coolest teacher of the year, according to the student body. So if you want to vote for a teacher, text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name to 39333. One vote per phone number tomorrow morning. We'll find out who that is. We'll be back in just a moment.
MMR's official opening of the Jersey Shore. Think of it as complete concert coverage to kick off summer and your Memorial Day weekend. Friday, May 24th, we're broadcasting live all day from some iconic shore points. Join the Preston and Steve Show live from Keenan's in North Wildwood, presented by Coors Light, the Jersey Shore's most refreshing beer. Dig your toes in the sand in Atlantic City with Pierre Robert live from Margaritaville. Jackson rocks your happy hour at the Inlet in North Wildwood with Victory Brewing Company's Summer Love and the first official Flip-Flop Nation Party. WMMR's official opening of the Jersey Shore from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
Well, it happened last night. 8 years, 8 seasons of... and by the way, we're not going to discuss any specifics about Game of Thrones. We're going to go. We're going to circle around all of that, but we're not going to get into it.
Just who lived and who died, right?
Yeah, we'll tell you exactly.
But no plot points.
What happened. But, yeah, it's all done. And, you know...
Can I ask you something?
I stayed up late last night to watch it, yeah.
So you watched it, you did... And any show that I've ever loved and loved the way you love Game of Thrones, and as many do, what was it, the 18, you know, how many millions watched it last night? It was huge.
I'm not sure, yeah.
But after it, I always feel a bit of a sense of loss.
Exactly. In fact, the first words out of Casey's mouth this morning to me... were, I'm sorry for your loss, Preston.
Yeah.
And then you threw me some thoughts and prayers. I appreciate that.
Always, man, thoughts and prayers.
But, yeah, no, exactly. It's, I mean, leading up to this, excitement and everything is, you know, anticipatory. And
yes.
Then it happens and it's over. And then, you know, it's like the Olympians who train a good portion of their lives. And then the event comes and goes, and maybe they win. And after that, it's like, well, now what?
You know, it's like when you've been having a great time at a place, like at a nightclub or a bar or something, and then the lights come on.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the thing. I'm okay with how everything ended last night. I really, really am.
Me too. Everyone agrees with you.
But the thing is,
I'm completely divided. Yeah,
I'm not happy, and it's not because of the way everything ended up. I'm not happy because it's over.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's real.
Well, the truth of the matter is, as you know, there is all sorts of other series planned around the world of the whole Game of Thrones universe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've not seen it. I haven't seen any episodes this season. I was caught up until this season. But I'm actually pretty proud of myself because I've been able to avoid spoilers rather successfully throughout this season. I know some things happen to certain characters because you see all their names trending on Twitter or whatever. I'm wondering how long I'll be able to make it like this week without hearing something.
Here's the deal. And I was just talking to you. We have a couple of guests hanging out in our studio, Greg over here. And I was saying, Nick, if you find out something important at this point, it's your own fault.
Oh, it's on me.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%. I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Get this. Okay. My wife just started. I mean, she's binging. She's like completely addicted. And she honored our agreement to watch it together by totally ignoring our agreement to watch it together.
That's a good point.
And so she's, but she's so much into it. She's I got to be careful on social media. I said, hon, you just have to accept that you are going to find out major plot. Just enjoy it for what it is. And in a way, almost, you can enjoy it in a different way. So just go along for the ride.
Yeah. I remember when the Red Wedding happened. Knowing about
Billy Idol, right?
No. In Game of Thrones. But I didn't know exactly what it was. So if you want to avoid spoilers, you can, unless somebody directly talks to you about it, or you're in the room and they drop something.
You can do it effectively to a point where, like, on something that is such a pop culture explosion as is this,
right? Yeah.
Or like with the Avengers, you can do it to a level. But you can't get pissed off if something slips through.
Exactly. Right, but you know what, Nick? The Red Wedding, I knew what happened because somebody like spliced it into something that I wasn't expecting.
Oh, that blows.
So it was
a cat on a Roomba video.
But if you remember, like the first act that created the Red Wedding, like I'm just kind of like watching and something else. I'm watching something else, and then boom, that comes. I was like, well, what? I don't understand what's happening. And then when I got to that episode of the Game of Thrones, I was like, oh. I'm like, oh, I totally know what happens.
Yeah, you're going to know what's happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, unfortunately, you just got to try to dodge that stuff. Or the moment you get a chance, dive in and watch it, Nick.
Right, I will.
Did you have any special food? Did you dress up? Were you wearing a Game of Thrones shirt?
I started to. I put on the shirt that I'm wearing now. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to put on a shirt until I know who is. Because there had to be, at the end, some kind of someone who claims ownership of, you know, leading the realm, and I was going to wait to wear the proper shirt. But anyhow, no, I went in my room. I shut the door by myself. I turned the TV up almost as loud as it would go, and I turned the lights off.
Does anybody else in your family watch?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, not a single person. I have no one to talk to about that.
Me neither.
At home.
And, Press, I did the same thing. Shut the door, turned the volume up to 50.
Pulled my pants down.
Pulled my pants down. Put them back on because my kids were right there.
Yeah, pounded away, turned on the set.
But I was getting pissed off. Like, my daughter came into the room as if we don't have like 10 rooms in the house that she, you know, like, well, Avery was watching
Shut
TV
up.
Too loud. And so, like, you know, I turn to her and as calmly as I possibly, hon, I literally been waiting 10 years for this. Okay. Like, 10 years.
I don't love you.
Yeah.
And then, never wanted you, but I love this show. Yeah. No, I,
15 minutes left in the episode.
Isn't that a given, though?
All three kids came in.
You knew
I'm like,
gonna...
listen, I don't have to give you guys a kiss goodnight every night, all right?
You know what's interesting? I'm glad you brought that up about, you know, 10, some roughly, you know, these amount of years that you've been waiting for this. And I started to reflect on how long the show has now been a part of my life. And that goes with any show that you've committed to from beginning to end and you let it go. Like Breaking Bad would be one, you know, that ran for 5 years. And I started to think about, I remember like the first time I heard about the show coming up was with a group of people, a couple's house that we were over. We're not even friends with them anymore.
Nope.
That's how long I've been watching this show. I realized we had a full on discussion. I'm like, wow, we don't even socialize with those guys.
That was the
anymore.
First time you heard it?
Yeah. First
you,
time.
You were at a swingers party.
Yeah.
And
No,
that's wild.
And then I started to think about, well, you know, people have come and gone. Some babies have been born, people have died, all these things have happened over the stretch. It's been a big chunk of time that I've committed to this program and loved so much.
Well, it's, listen, these, we, this show deals extensively with pop culture, and it's so much, it's a commonality, you know, that we all, at least most of us, I don't know anyone who just totally says, ah, pop culture, there's something that you yeah. you like and can find that you like. We were talking about this at the barbecue with a few people, Preston, the complexion of what was the adoration and enjoyment of pop culture has changed because of so much delayed viewing, whereas you could not have a situation as we had with Lost years ago where we could go and talk about it the next day because everyone was, yeah. it was a very communal watching experience.
Yeah.
But still, like I remember when the redo of Battlestar Galactica, the second go-around, the series that was on Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
One of the greatest television series ever.
And many people actually agree with you on that. I've never seen it, but I've heard it's amazing.
And when it wrapped up, I think it's the reaction I'm getting from you guys with Game of Thrones. I was satisfied,
mm-hmm.
but there's no way you can go on a journey like that, that is as emotionally wrought and all this stuff, and have it wrap up totally perfect everywhere in your mind you'd set the expectation level at. Yep. It just can't be.
People are almost always going to be disappointed in some way, shape, or form. And to that, by the way, yesterday I was out and about. We had three different things. We had a cheer banquet. We had a band banquet. We had a graduation party. So I was talking to a lot of people yesterday. I ran into a lot of Game of Thrones fans. And every single person I talked to has loved the past few episodes, as opposed to all this you've been seeing about online.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a big, but somebody put it to me this way. You know what? Those people all find each other, and then they make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
But every single person I spoke to yesterday was, I'm loving this. Yeah. I don't care what anybody says. So I'm like, yes, thank you. And I let them know that every person I ran into had said the same thing.
So I have an example of mine in mind of the question I'm about to ask. But have you guys ever watched a finale of a show that you weren't invested in most of the rest of the episodes?
Yes, I watched McDreamy. What was Grey's Anatomy?
Grey's Anatomy.
That's not
a finale.
It was just a series.
When
it was
he left
season.
The show?
It was a season. I forget. He was shot, I think, in one of the. And it,
he
I
choked
was like,
to death on a tongue depressor.
But it made me go back. I was like, all right, I think I want to watch part of this show now. Okay, you know, okay. I didn't watch the entire thing, but.
To your point, Nick, about have you ever, like, the final episode of a series?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I was about to comment on. Seinfeld.
Oh.
I'm one of the few Americans that really didn't get into Seinfeld. I appreciated its humor and everything, but I just didn't dive into it like everybody else did. And, of course, it was a huge pop culture event.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, like, a viewing party and everything. Yeah, and so I went and I watched it, and I wasn't getting everything.
Yeah, but that last episode wasn't even that good.
It was a bad episode.
It was
bad, and it took... These characters that were the whole idea of concerning Seinfeld, these characters that were sort of removed and really not.
They were reprehensible.
But they were still, there were still elements of likability that kept you moving along with them. And the last episode just sucked all of that out. It basically made them witness to a crime that they didn't do anything to stop.
Yeah, it pointed out all of their flaws and how terrible they were
people. And didn't reward the audience in some way for watching it.
Yeah, it was kind of a letdown.
Yeah.
The last episode of a series that I didn't watch and I loved it was 6 Feet Under. And 6 Feet Under was a really good show. I just never got into it. I would catch episodes here and there. The last episode of that show, the way that it wrapped everything up, and this was a show that I was not emotionally involved with. I got emotional about it.
Did it make you go back and watch the rest of the series?
Not all of it, but bits and pieces of it here and there. But the way that they took these characters, and it was their show about death, and they, and this is a spoiler alert because it's 10 years later. But
Casey's covering his ears.
Oh, he doesn't want to know about 6 Feet Under?
About 6 Feet Under?
Okay.
Okay.
No, his ears hurt.
I actually, it's on my list. I actually started watching the very first episode.
Oh, right. Years.
Well, then I won't tell you how it
Say it. Yeah. Say it out loud. Say it. Sing it proud. I mean, show's been off the air forever.
Has it? Yeah. When did that
it
end?
It was about 10 years ago. Yeah.
Before Dexter.
Yeah. Don't tell me how Gunsmoke ends.
Well, by the way, so Steve sent me this article, and I think it was from USA Today. I'm not 100% sure, but it was the best and worst series finales.
Yes.
And the number one, as far as the best goes, according to them, is 6 Feet Under.
Are you kidding?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what they ranked as the best ending.
Well, Casey, you were going to enjoy it.
Of series of all time. So I don't know exactly what happens, but they ranked there. So I'll run down the list here.
Yeah.
And we don't have to go into too much detail, but... number two on their list was Newhart.
Newhart had such a great turnaround ending. There were two iterations. There was the Bob Newhart show, and then there was Newhart. So the Newhart show ends with a hearkening back to the Bob Newhart show, where he's in bed with Suzanne Pleshette at the end, and it's the series never took place. It was very funny.
Number three on the list was MASH. Very, very emotional.
And I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I thought it was, I don't know, I thought it was overwrought, you know? And apparently the 200 million Americans that watched it.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest TV viewings of all time, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was huge.
I enjoyed it. The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yes, the big group hug at the end.
Was ranked, yeah. And they managed to throw in a laugh in the middle of that unbelievably emotional moment. They all have this, they're all crying and they're hugging each other. And it's really, you're just, you have tears running down your face. And they realize they need a tissue, which the box of tissues is across the room. So they all in this group hug slowly shuffle over together to get the tissues. It was hilarious.
It was great. Yeah. Steve, the way that your mind works, when you started that sentence with the group hug, I thought you were going to say the group sex. And
the group sex at the end of Mary Tyler Moore was great, especially when Ted finished off on Murray.
See, that's a Steve Morrison moment. I swear to God, I thought that's the direction you
finished
were headed
off on Murray. On his bald head.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay. Number five on their list is Battlestar Galactica, Steve.
Yeah.
That says a lot. In something like, in company with shows like MASH and Newhart and Mary Tyler Moore, that they put Battlestar Galactica up there. Battlestar Galactica. And like you have told me for years and many other people, that is one of the best TV series they've ever seen.
Preston, when you come in after, that's why I will eventually watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And I need to get away from the whole deal now that my wife has decided to break our pact. You come in and you go, oh, my God, I can't believe that episode just blew me away. One right after another, it went through its high points and went through its low points, and you know you go along for the ride.
Mm-hmm. Hey, is The Office on this list?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
That wrapped up really well.
This list is from late 2018.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is actually.
Yeah. All right.
So then you had the Sopranos as number six as one of the best series finales.
Now do you remember how controversial that was? Because it ends with a non-definitive ending. Everyone wanted to know if in the world of the mafia and the Tony's world, if he would end up getting whacked, but it was the family sitting in a diner as Journey played, you know?
Actually, that was one that I watched. I did see some of the episodes prior to, but I didn't follow it religiously, but I watched that
last episode.
What did
you think, Kathy, seen it?
For not having seen it, I thought it was a good ending.
Yeah.
And it was open-ended. I mean, it was open to interpretation. A lot of people think that Tony was killed.
I'm waiting on my hash browns. I ordered some hash browns.
But it's not definitive.
Can I get this butter a little better?
Now, this is my opinion, but I think that most people don't want an open ending. They would like to tell you to tell them what happens. But, you know.
But the creator of the series.
David Chase.
David Chase stands by it. But again, if that episode didn't exist and all you had was the great show before it, which had, again, its wealth of mind-blowing episodes. Mm. I watch. It's great.
By the way, that's another one that I didn't watch, but I did watch the season the series finale.
Yeah, they're supposed to be doing a prequel to it. I don't know if it's going to be a movie or
the Baritones.
It's going to be.
Hey, you want to go out for some sandwiches?
Tony in high school.
Tony,
I'm serious.
Really?
Yeah,
little Tony.
No. Like what his formative years and what it was like growing up in a mafia family.
What about is that what the movie is?
That's what I just said. Yeah,
because they're also planning another series. You know,
I don't think it's going to be a series. I think it's going to be a standalone movie. But HBO is not quite sure, and I don't know if David Chase is involved. It seems like there's a lot of. Proverbial balls up in the air.
Here are some of the other ones that were ranked as the best series finales of all time. The Shield is number seven on their list.
The Shield was great. I watched a couple of seasons and didn't make it all the way to the end, but it had one of those great characters that, and I guess Game of Thrones is replete with them, where one week you're like, yeah, this guy's a good guy. And the other guy goes, this is the worst guy who's ever born.
Most definitely. There's some complex characters. Then you had number eight was Cheers.
Cheers had a perfect ending.
Yeah, it was awesome. Sorry, like bars closed. I think that's what the
name was. Yeah, what a great way to end it. I agree.
I think we're closed.
Symbolically.
We're closed. Yeah.
We don't serve your kind.
And they ended with like a
very racist
moment.
We don't serve your kind.
We don't serve your kind.
I was hoping, though.
This is Boston.
what did you say?
No, I was hoping that they were going to show Vera Peterson because she had always been alluded to for the entire run of the series. And I was hoping that the gag was that she was just an absolute knockout. Like, you know what I mean?
And Norm's wife.
But
Norm's
for that, for those last, you get down to the money shot, the last minute, and he's there. And, you know, that you know, last second.
And right before he goes, you remember he straightens the picture of Coach on the wall.
Geronimo.
Geronimo,
which was in Ernie, Nicholas Colasanto's locker. So it was a nod to Coach.
A nod to him. That was so cool.
And Sam finally realizes after Norm tells him that his one true love in life is the bar.
The bar.
Does he say, I'm the luckiest son of a bitch?
Something like that.
Is that what he says?
Yeah, I'm the luckiest son of a bitch alive or something like that. And then he says, we don't serve your kind.
Yeah, we don't serve your kind. Get out of here.
Sorry, we don't serve your kind.
Ruining this city. What? Why would you take that pivot at the last 10 seconds of a beloved series?
He throws a pot of scalding hot water on a homeless person sitting here, out front.
Peeing all over the sidewalk.
All right, so two more on this list of the best series finales. Then we'll go on to the worst.
Yes.
According to this list. Number nine is Breaking Bad for the best. I thought that wrapped up nicely.
I don't think I've ever encountered anyone who was a fan all along the series, all the way to the finale, who doesn't agree with it being one of the absolute best endings of a series ever.
Yep. And then this one is number 10 on the list, The Americans.
Yes, which is the family of Russian spies living in the States.
It's got Felicity in it.
Felicity's in it.
Carrie Russell.
I'm watching it.
Comrade Felicity.
So I guess that wrapped up nicely. I don't know.
Well, yeah. You know what's not on the list, though, Preston, if I may, and I think you would agree?
Please.
Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Good things. That final episode.
It has been so long since I've seen that, but I remember I loved it.
It began with Q in the pilot episode and ends with Q. And so at one
his
point.
His nephew dies and that kind of. Yeah, right. I remember
and then
that.
All three ships are there's a vortex and the original. They're all meeting in this whole thing where they have to, you know, hold too much to say other than I was crying my eyes out. And the final scene is the captain never came in and played cards with everybody.
Yeah.
Picard, he was too busy and he didn't think they wanted him to come in and play cards with them. And that was the final thing that they did. It was just beautiful. Yeah.
Well done. All right. Here's some of the worst ones. And I went from the number one spot down.
Change it up.
I know, Bill.
There's only like four or five.
Bill, there's only five of them.
All right, well then go 3, 4, 2, 1, and 5.
No, I'll start with 5. The worst endings, according to this article, Charmed on the WB.
People cared enough about it.
Again, it should be a show that people care about.
I'm sorry.
No one gives a rat's ass.
Shoot the messenger.
Yeah. It's like small wonder. Everyone was disappointed when she... Her servo's shorted out. Who cares? She can no longer lift the couch.
Number 4 is Dexter.
Dexter,
which
was
Case
a,
you watch.
A big series for people. What did you think, Casey?
I thought it the ending was terrible.
Okay.
It absolutely was just a horrendous ending. But the last couple of seasons it just got like
petered out.
It really did. I mean, so like they gave him a girlfriend and then, you know.
You weren't unprepared for a less than satisfying ending. That's the issue. A show like The Sopranos, excellent all the way through. So when it does end on us on a note that's not quite in line with the rest of the show, that's when it hits more. But in this, you were sort of prepared for it to sort of stink.
Well, I really feel like, I mean, this dude's a serial killer.
Yeah.
And you spend a couple of years rooting for this guy. And then you're like, you know, like, how about... Maybe he like gets his
due.
His due.
Yeah.
Like, and you feel weird. Like, this dude's killing people, and you're rooting for it. Like, I don't feel right about that.
Right.
Number 3 on this list is for worst series wrap ups, Lost. Yeah. If I had a feeling that would be on there.
And we had a talk at the barbecue with Pierre about this. You know, we were sitting back there talking about how the show. Again, it gave us incredible amounts of viewing pleasure. It was a great, complex story. But I said to Pierre, and he agreed, there were too many open ends that they didn't follow through
on.
And it was clear that they didn't know how to finish it up, and it ended exactly the way they said it wasn't going to end.
And I think that was a big problem was they said it is not going to end this way. That's not what it is.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, we have nothing else to do.
Yeah, we'll exactly. That's the only way that we can end this.
Like they've made statements
it's
that it wasn't going to end that way.
They made statements throughout the entire run of the show that it wasn't purgatory.
Yeah. It's limbo. That's what it is. It's not purgatory.
Now
it's
we'll
limbo,
get emails from people going, wasn't purgatory. No. For all intents and purposes, they were sitting in a church.
Yeah, it was a waiting room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing missing were the highlights magazines.
I was a little disappointed. It didn't destroy me. It didn't say, like, what a waste of all these years.
No.
But I was just like, you could have done better.
I was mad. I thought it was a terrible ending.
But you remember the first time you saw, like, the Dharma symbol on the shark, and you're like, oh, my God! What's going on here?
Yep.
Then what was it?
Nothing. Dharma need never have existed.
Namaste my ass.
Yeah.
Number two is Seinfeld. We spoke about that already. And number one on this list for worst series finales, and I didn't watch any of this show, is How I Met Your Mother. I know it was very popular.
Wow.
Did very well, and I don't know how it ended. But
it was okay. It was a sitcom, though. And so I think we tend to get a little bit more, as you would imagine, tied up in the dramas. But I thought it was a fine ending, you know.
Steve, a text just came in, and I'm surprised this wasn't on the list, but St. Elsewhere. A lot of people thought that was a cop-out.
Well, some people did. It was an autistic child looking at a snow globe, and he had made up the whole St. Elsewhere story in his mind, is what we were led to believe.
The hospital was in the globe, right?
Yeah. Oh. Which is, that's kind of, you know, a hospital, really?
Well, here's what happens. Then you mean all of the drama, all of the loss, and all of those great moments between these characters was just nothing.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool that they took a shot at that. But you've got to get people who have been watching the show and invested all that time in it. You got to give them something that says, okay, you look at Endgame. Look at how beautiful Endgame takes all of these stories. It not only gives you what you want, gives you things you didn't even know you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been thinking about Endgame a lot since I've watched it. There's a part of me that really enjoyed it because I loved it so much. I wish there was more of a pause until the next one came out. And I feel like just a little bit of a rush to Spider-Man. I get it. I understand what Marvel's doing. But even like with the trailer for Spider-Man, when they're referencing the things that just happened in Endgame, Endgame was such a great way to wrap up that part of this Marvel universe. Let that sit for a little bit, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the response is to Spider-Man.
By the way, there's a group, there's an organization that is apparently offering counseling for those who were distraught at the end of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Talking about that sense of loss, right?
The way they put it, I like this, says the finale of a show was always going to leave fans distraught after 8 years of enjoyment. So we've launched a specialized Game of Thrones counseling service to help bereft fans seek support and get the help they need through this tough time. Fans can speak to qualified counselors who are familiar with the series to discuss plot twists and storylines. The professionals will help them digest their feelings and interpretation of the show, which could range from anger and confusion to sadness and grief. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, the counselors will be on hand to guide fans on how to move on after almost a decade of fandom. And charges is like $40 or something like that for a 30-minute session.
I will say, despite loving the entire run and being very, very happy with how everything ended, Preston, during the commercial break, I want to tell you, and Nick Murphy, I think they could have done one other thing.
Last night. Okay.
That everybody would have been like, dude.
Okay. Yeah, no, there's, listen, there's all kinds
you
of
you mean the commercials
points.
Or the series? Like if they brought back Madge or something like that?
No, the series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're
Madge
soaking in it.
The Palmolive commercials? Listen, I was happy. Let me just give you my basic review.
We've been entirely spoiler free.
I'm not going to give you anything that's going to spoil if you haven't seen it yet. But I'm satisfied with how it ended. I think that some shortcuts were taken. I was just talking to listener Greg, who's here in our studio. Had they had 3 or 4 more episodes this season, I think they could have really fleshed it out better. I wasn't upset with it, but I was like, okay, you know, at the end. But I had anticipated maybe feeling that way.
Yeah.
As usually happens with most series finales, where you're not going to be 100% satisfied. So I went into it knowing that I would probably be that way. So I'm not disappointed, you know?
Think about the miracle of getting something that can hold your attention for this many years and be as good as it was. I'm operating on what I hear the feedback is. I will watch it at some point. That alone gave you so much time of joy over that amount of time. It's a win, regardless of how it ends.
Yeah, but they did. They once again, they surprised me with their decision on how to end it. I did not see what happened coming, and I ran through several scenarios of what I thought maybe was going to happen, and they picked one that I didn't even consider. So
spring break.
I think it's cool. But it's time. Listen, winter's over, dude. Yeah.
Time to hit the beach.
Yes.
And then a scene where they're holding up their hot dogs on sticks in front of the dragons.
Winter has come and gone. Spring break, going to Fort Lauderdale. That'd be awesome, right?
Oh, my God.
Instead of a sword, they've got, like, you know, those half yards of margaritas. Yeah. Oh, my God. But it's a big era that's come to a close as far as entertainment goes. But what's also promising is the fact that they were able to do something with that production value on that scale that, you know, there's going to be other series that are going to hit that benchmark and be that good.
It already is in that they, you know, they can pull off stuff on a slightly lesser budget with the computer wizardry. And if you look at the making of Game of Thrones over the years, you know, a lot of times they're standing in a lot, you know, and everything else is created around them. So what they can do, I mean, even the dragon stuff and all, it's just amazing.
Yep. So, well, anyhow, it has come and gone. We will await the next big thing that comes along. But Game of Thrones, if you have not, if this is all completely foreign to you, I recommend you check out the show. I really loved it. But if, you know, but if medieval type settings and dragons aren't your thing, you're not going to like it. But nonetheless, it's really, really, that the entire first season actually is very little to do with any magic or wizardry or any of that. It's a lot of politics and family and struggle for power and stuff. It's really, really well done. So anyhow, that is that. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in a moment. How about, Case, when is this?
That is next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
At 5 o'clock, actually.
Okay, well, we can do this. We have a screening of the new Godzilla movie.
Yeah,
it'll be at the UA Riverview in IMAX, and it's at 5 p.m., like Casey says. A little bit early on a Tuesday, so keep in mind that you got to be there by 4:30. And I will take 5 callers to go to the movie, 215-263-WMMR. It's called Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Next Tuesday, UA Riverview, IMAX, 5 p.m. Keep that in mind. It's in theaters May 31st, 215-263-WMMR. We'll get you on board. We're going to take a break, come back in a second. We have the B-File and an announcement on the way. And then John Waters is going to be joining us later on. I misspoke earlier and said he's at the Free Library tonight. It's Thursday night that he's going to be in town, but we're going to talk to him today. So we'll be back in a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
I realized that, you know what, I've just had this idea on how to get our microphone stands fixed.
Yes.
Because they make all this noise like
right,
that.
Right, yeah.
How about, and I'm not saying we do this because I can't get the official go-ahead, but every time a mic squeaks, caller 10 gets $1,000.
Oh, dear Lord.
And then they'll fix it, right?
We're going to give away a lot of money.
Something like that?
Get the go-ahead.
Okay. All
right. And then that'll probably happen. Yeah.
I'll get back to you on that.
Because I have a feeling it'll have to come out of your pocket if we don't.
I know.
I'm the only one that can move my microphone.
You have a wonderfully lubed microphone stand.
Yes, mine's pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kathy, look at this. Look at the range.
Oh, you don't squeak either.
No.
Oh.
But you know what? I Preston, he's constantly playing with himself over there.
That's probably what it is.
And so I keep it in a lock position, and then when we finish, I'll move it off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that's the Doppler.
Have they tried to fix it?
They're busy building our studios right
now.
But
can't it just be like a little WD-40 or something?
I would like it. No, apparently WD-40 doesn't work on this because it's plastic.
WD-70, I think we got to
use.
I think we need some silicone or something like that.
Right.
We'll work on that. Question. Do you guys want Bizarre File first or Announcement first?
Announcement.
I leave it up to you. Announcement? Announcement?
Announcement.
All right.
Announcement.
Drum roll, please.
Okay. We're going to do a drum roll, please.
Yep. We love announcing anything that has to do with this guy. And we're excited that this particular person is going to be in town to perform a show Saturday, July 27th at the Met.
At the Met!
Beautiful facility. And we are happy to announce that our good friend, Bert Kreischer!
Yay!
is going to be performing at the Met. He is the Machine. Saturday, July 27th. So a Saturday night with Bert Kreischer. How about that? Tickets go on sale Thursday at noon via Ticketmaster.com. We are going to have Bert on the program, I think, on Wednesday, Casey?
Yes, sir.
So we will talk to him about this exciting event coming up. And Bert loves coming to Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's super excited to be here that night. And when we talk to him on Wednesday, you can ask him about the Bend to the Shore bike tour, because that's the following day. And I asked him to ride with Team WMMR. He might end up doing it. He might do it. Yeah, I swear to God. Listen, he's like, I love stuff like this.
Okay. And he will take on feats of physical, even though he's not.
He's done Iron Man stuff.
It's crazy.
And you would look at him and say, this guy's going to die in the first 4 minutes.
He does it.
Yeah.
He's a man of his word. So guess what? I got some tickets to get.
Ooh!
Yeah, let's take caller number.
Ooh!
Let's take caller number 18. At 215-263-WMMR, and I will give you a pair of tickets. By the way, there is a pre-sale that's happening on Wednesday, and you can get the information and password at WMMR.com. So, Bert, I'm sure, will sell out the Met.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great venue, and if you haven't been there yet, this would be a perfect opportunity for you to go and check it out and have a damn good time, we guarantee. So, Bert Kreischer, and that's July 27th, I believe, it's Saturday. Mm-hmm. All right, Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Alrighty, it's brought to you by Sequoia Outback. Sequoia has everything that you need to create your backyard oasis. Memorial Day sale going on now. Visit them on Route 309 in Hatfield or at decksupplies.com. Well, parks in Melbourne, Australia have a very specific problem that can only be seen from up in the air. They've got giant penises drawn all over them. Three separate parks in the northeast of the city have been adorned with phallic glyphs that can be seen on Google Maps.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, the giant penises have been compared to Peru's famous Nazca lines, ancient symbols that can only be appreciated from space. It was said that they were drawn to please the gods looking down on Earth.
On the weekends, I watched that show, Ancient Penises. Do you watch that?
I haven't seen it yet.
It's really good.
One theory is that this is the work of school-leaving millennials searching for the ultimate prank. Each park seems to contain several different members, all drawn at different sizes. Sadly, the groundskeeper appears to have caught up with the penises, which was drawn at Hayes Park. It's now all but faded, but if you look closely, you can still just make out the testicles by the edge of the lawn next to a lamppost.
Testicles are always last to go.
Yeah.
That's still amazing to pull that off, to pull off a penis.
It's true.
Did anybody happen to see the guy who had a penis sunburn on his back?
No.
At the MM barbecue?
Yeah, I tweeted it.
Yeah, so somebody had tweeted to us, says that, this is what friend, don't fall asleep around friends or something like that.
That's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
I love it. Oklahoma defense attorney Mark Bailey is under fire in Oklahoma for, among other things, taking a poop-stained check to the offices of the Oklahoma Bar Association and asking that it be delivered directly to a staff member of the OBA General Counsel's office. When the check was delivered, the complaint said that the check had a pinched indentation and there was a brown, damp smear across its front. Test results confirmed the substance on the check was fecal matter. Bailey was also arrested for assault and battery after allegedly running his car into a woman over a parking space a couple of years back.
And he's a lawyer?
Yeah, and all these stories that understandably get second billing compared to the fecal matter check.
Yeah.
For his part, Bailey denies any wrongdoing, but the defense outlined the disciplinary complaint raises even more questions. The complaint said Bailey denied there was anything nefarious about the check. His paralegal said that the checkbook had fallen between Bailey's car seats and that the brown substance was already smeared on the check at the time that she filled it in for Bailey's signature.
Sure.
I mean, it's poop.
It's poop.
They tested it. It's definitely fecal matter.
Well, don't you have a poop under your seats in the car?
I keep a little bit.
Just
there,
a little for you.
Not to, enough to make a mess.
To keep the change from rolling around.
Yeah, yeah. Kath? Yeah. I give you this story. This is from last week. I apologize. I didn't get a chance to get to it. But a Chester County, Pennsylvania man is out on bond after his arrest for drilling multiple holes inside Target changing rooms.
What?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, Sean Anderson was charged with criminal mischief for drilling holes in multiple changing rooms at the Target in West Pottsgrove Township. Authorities believe that he may be the same person responsible for drilling holes in other Target changing rooms throughout the area.
Can you turn a little to the left, please?
A loss prevention officer at the store was aware that someone had been drilling holes in Target changing rooms and had a description of the suspect. And on May 4th, employees had noticed holes in the changing room of that exact same Target and had caulked them over. Now, on May 9th, the loss prevention officer noticed Anderson going in and out of the dressing room, which prompted her to check on the previous holes. After noticing that the holes had been re-drilled,
oh my God.
She called police.
So he's in the other dressing room looking through?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, it's so dumb. If you're going to be a perv, like, a dressing room, most times are not even getting completely naked. Like, they're just putting a top on.
Just put a Wi-Fi camera in there.
So the responding officer noticed multiple holes in different changing rooms and saw that one of the holes had gray foam inside. The officer detained Anderson. And after walking him to his police vehicle, checked the area where Anderson had been standing there. The officer found a drill bit, wooden block, and tweezers tucked inside the pocket of a pair of sweatpants that were on a rack. After searching Anderson, the officer said he also found a piece of foam that matched the foam inside one of the changing room holes. Anderson posted bail after being charged with possession of an instrument of a crime and criminal mischief, causing an estimated $1,200 of damage. Police have not said what they think he is. Police have not said why they think he's the same person who drilled holes in other Target changing rooms.
Think of the wealth of material, whatever your kinky thing is online. But for this guy specifically, it has to be this.
Yeah.
It has to be in real time.
Yeah.
It has to probably be at a Target. Mm-hmm. All this whole procedure figures into his perversion.
Have you ever stopped to thank God that that's not your thing?
I'm so glad that's not my thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Zombie raccoons. That's my thing.
Yes.
That clumsily walk on two legs and show their teeth are staggering around suburban Chicago, and authorities are warning locals to hide their pets. A spike in raccoons testing positive for distemper in Riverside, Illinois, is to blame for the bizarre sightings of contaminated animals that the disease causes to appear zombie-like. While zombie raccoons don't eat brains, distemper is highly contagious. If you're feeding wildlife and that raccoon ate out of your bowl or cat food for your stray cats and your puppy goes over, the saliva can be contagious.
They sent in a Negan raccoon to take care of everything.
Well, oh, well, oh, well. Looks like we got ourselves a problem in Chi-Town. Leaning back, huh? Looks like we got some trouble. Some trouble in Chi-Town. Going deep dish on this bitch.
It's got a little leather jacket. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Lean back way far.
Hey!
Hey. In the home of Oprah.
Airborne transmission of distemper, which is also carried by wolves and skunks, most commonly affects dogs.
There's less wolves in Chicago.
The AMA reports that distemper is often fatal, and dogs that survive usually have permanent irreparable nervous system damage. Symptoms of the illness include watery eyes, sneezing, lethargy, and seizures. It cannot be contracted by humans. Police said that anyone who encounters a zombie raccoon should call the police so that they can deal with it.
You have
it.
To stick your knife through the brain, right?
Yep,
yeah.
Exactly. It's got to be right in the brain stem. All right, one last story. I like this one. This is in England. Hawksmoor, Manchester, a steakhouse in England, accidentally served a group of diners a bottle of wine worth $5,700.
Wow.
After they had ordered one that was worth only $330. Only, listen, $330 already would have been.
That's still pricey.
Pretty damn pricey. Yeah. But they pulled out the $5,700 bottle by accident in the restaurant.
Shouldn't that be in a separate room?
They tweeted about the mix-up, writing, to the customer who accidentally got given a bottle of Chateau Le Pin Pomerol 2001, which is $5,700 on our menu last night. Hope you enjoyed your evening.
Oh, my God.
And then they just left it at that.
I'd be curious to go to those people and say, did you notice a difference that would be equivalent to the dollar difference? I guarantee you they didn't.
I would say the same thing, Steve. It is believed that the manager in the restaurant picked up the wrong bottle, as it looked very similar to the one ordered Here's the difference between America and England, probably. Nobody at the restaurant was fired over that.
Okay.
And it was just a mistake, and they'll eat the $5,700
loss. Well, they made sure to serve them undercooked chicken just to offset the
deal. There you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will come back in just a moment. Don't forget, we are going to have John Waters checking in around 9 o'clock. And also, Steinert High School in Hamilton, New Jersey, is the school that has the voting that's up and running now for coolest teacher of the year. Text word teacher followed by the teacher's name to 39333. We'll be back in a moment.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, MMRBQ 2019 was on Saturday. The weather was the greatest of any MMRBQ we've ever been to, I think.
Yeah.
It was just what you wanted.
We've had some good ones, but what we had on for the past number of years, five, six years, it's been we've had issues with rain and so on and so forth. Okay. But not only was it sunny and clear, but there was a wonderful breeze, and it was just awesome.
Yep. It was beautiful. And, I mean, the biggest crowd that we've seen, I think, in a long time.
I agree.
We were getting our tickets, there was a few people, they were next to us, and they were just buying tickets at the window. Like, they said, do you have any tickets available? Like, just a, you know.
A lot of walk-ups.
Because I thought that was going to happen because of the weather, and sure enough, right when I got there, a guy was like, hey, do you have any tickets available?
And what's going to happen is people are going to say, hey, you know what? Sometimes they do have good weather.
Yeah.
And that'll only fuel next year. But, man, what a great experience. I got there around 1:45, and the vibe already, you know, just in the parking lot, the tailgating was to new levels.
I'm playing Joan Jett because that's the first time I had ever seen her.
Yeah, it was so great.
And she was great.
Yeah, she was awesome.
It was fantastic.
Super nice, too. A few of us got to meet her before their set.
She's so tiny.
She's a small little thing.
Yeah.
Marissa actually took off her heels for her photo with Joan Jett because she didn't want to be taller than Joan Jett.
Get out of here.
Yeah, but she couldn't have been nicer. And for me, the two highlights were Joan Jett and the Struts. Nice. They just knocked it out of the park.
Me too.
Yeah, there was a moment when Joan Jett started playing the Mary Tyler Moore theme song. Did she play that a lot?
Yeah, she's been playing that for years.
Oh, yeah. Well, it made my day. And then I saw Kevin Gunn in the audience and I like sprinted and I pushed people over to, because he calls me Mary Tyler Moore sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so I like sprinted over and he lit up and we got to enjoy and sing along, and I pretended to throw a hat at the end of the song. It was awesome. It was so good. Her and the Struts and Shinedown. Oh, my God. There's some great photos of just the whole audience with their cell phones up during Shinedown. I love it when the band do that, when it's, like, really dark out and all the lights are off.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah, I kind of wish it was dark for the Struts.
Yeah, I know. They're such a showy band.
Yeah.
You know, that getting the light show in there, too, would be a nice.
But, that was the highlight by far. I loved Joan Jett, but he just, like, his performance is just amazing. He's such a nut, and I love it.
He is. Well, we were saying he's sort of the heir apparent to Freddie Mercury.
Oh,
he's been said for years.
I guess
it was Chuck that said, yeah, Evanescence did a great job. Everybody did a great job. But I think Chuck basically said, who's ever following the Struts is going to have a bitch, you know, because they just not only were the songs coming fast and furiously hits, but also the byplay with the audience.
Yeah. I mean, he had those guys eating out of the palm of his hand. I mean, at one point he made them all sit down and they all listened.
Oh, my God. I was on the floor of the BBC Center and I looked at my friend and it was like a pretty decent amount of time into the song. And I looked at my friend. I go, can we get up yet? She goes, no, he didn't say get up yet.
So what? I wasn't out there for
He was doing the whole, like, you know, like, this side, let me hear you this side, let me hear you that side. And then they started a song. And Like he stopped.
He does it. He does it a lot. He plays the crowd against each other, and it just makes it even that much louder when he does that. Sorry.
No. So you know, during the song, you know, he's playing the crowd again, and he wants them to all like get down, you know, and sit on the ground so that when they hit this part of the song, everybody jump up and start jumping, and I mean, they were all listening.
I didn't post yet. I have a bunch of stuff from that night. I'm going to post it, but I have a video. I was taking a video of us on the ground, and this woman next to me, if you listen carefully in my Instagram post, you can hear her. She goes, "Can you help me up when he says get up?" I go, "Yeah, sure, no problem."
That's awesome.
Oh, my God.
But I love that whole band. Jed and Gethin and Adam, they're great guys. They really got their part of their start was here at MMR in our studios, and they don't forget that. Last night they were doing a show with the Foo Fighters. Later this week they're going to the Cannes Film Festival. They're rock stars, but they remember MMR. They love playing MMRBQ, and I'm so proud and happy about the association that our radio station and our show has with those guys.
What was the tweet you that was earlier?
Luke Spiller's Instagram account, and it was a really sweet note, but he ended it by saying that he was excited to go on stage tonight for the MMRBQ for my favorite radio station in the whole of the U.S. of A, 93.3 WMMR.
That's cool.
So not only like do they tear it up on stage, but they were in the black box taking pictures with like, you know.
Explain what the black box is.
So the black box is just, you know, it's a room in the pavilion. It's set up for, you know, clients of the radio station. And
it's a VIP room.
It's a VIP room. Yep. It's got food and drink and all that sort of stuff. But it's, you know, friends of the various air members and staff members and then clients and all that sort of stuff. And they had like a little photo booth set up. And when I walked in there, you know, I saw the bright lights, and then I looked over. I'm like, "Oh, that's the Struts in there," and people were, you know, lined up taking pictures with them.
Listen, they usually are, everyone's sort of accommodating to a point. They exceed that. He does, and that, and Chris Jericho, I know, was Fozzie was doing a great bit of that as well.
I ran into him. I became friends with him. No, I saw him in the hallway. I was just I don't go around with the intention of tracking down the musicians and coming over and saying hi or thank you or something like that, because they're working, they're busy, and you don't know what kind of frame of mind they're in. They may have had a bad day and they need to get it together for a show, whatever it may be. But I was walking down the hall and I saw Chris and I'm like, "Hey," I go, "Hey man, it's Preston." I just kind of reintroduced myself. He's like, "Oh yeah," like immediately. It's like, "Oh my God." He's like, "You guys are the best." He's like, and he went on to tell me how the record really started taking off once MMR got behind it. And I thought that was really cool. And he was just a nice guy. I grabbed a picture with him real quick. And there were a lot of interesting behind the scenes things that were going on that day. I was in the catering area and I forgot who alerted me to the fact of who was sitting at the table next to us. And it was Jenny J-Wow from the Jersey Shore, and she knows a friend of ours, Christina. Kristen. And they were there just, I'm like, "Wow," just, you know, because I asked Kristen, I'm like, "Does she have friends here or something like that that's on the bill?" She's like, no, I just wanted to bring her. She's like, "Oh," because they were friends. And after I had talked to Chris Jericho, I had seen them in the hallway, and I was chatting. I'm like, they were kind of standing around, looked like they were waiting for something. And Jenny goes, "Well, we want to meet Chris Jericho." And I was like, "Oh, he's my boy. I was just talking to him.
Boy.
Let's go." Yeah. And so I took him down there and introduced him.
You have a second roast beef?
But he was actually, he was excited to meet her as well, because he comes out, he's like, "Oh my God." He's like, "I can't believe I haven't met you yet. I've met every member of the Jersey Shore except for you." And they said, and he was, I heard him go, "Yeah, I met Snooki at this thing and blah, 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 and situation." And so they hit it off.
That's cool, man.
Nice to introduce
I walked past her in the hallway and I saw her. I was like, "Oh, hey, how you doing?" Because I knew her face. Yeah. And so it was like one of those things like, "Oh, I know you." Right.
Right.
And then I got like two steps past her. I was like, "Oh, wait a second. You're J-Well.
With Peter Ginsburg.
Hey, what's up, roast beef?" So I talked to her, and I'm embarrassed to say that I was nervous talking to J-Well. I was, you know, and I chatted with her, and you know how I get
that,
like.
You love that show.
I watched it, and I told her that. I had no business watching Jersey Shore, but I did. I watched every episode, and, you know, I got, like, super, like, you know me. And like super chatty, and I'm like, "Oh my God," I started like talking myself into a corner.
I'm sure you're pointing at your hat and doing your turning around and pirouetting and all this stuff. I couldn't hear the conversation, but
in my mind, I was like, I don't, why am I so nervous talking to JWoww? But then she made me feel at ease. She looked down, she goes, I gotta admit, I'm obsessed with your toenails. And I was like, oh, my God.
I'm like, I just got them done on Thursday. Thank you so much.
She was super nice.
Yeah, she was.
They just came in for that show. She's a big Evanescence fan, and they wanted to watch Amy Lee. And I think they got a chance to meet Amy Lee as well, which is really cool. That was the one band that I missed. I didn't catch any of Evanescence, so I didn't know what people thought of that. But I did
I saw her walking down the hall. And
Amy Lee?
About it. Yeah.
You see her outfit?
She seemed happy and everything.
Yeah. But she was dressed to the nines. But I did go out and watch Shinedown. And I made the mistake of going out into the pit to watch the first song of Shinedown. And I don't know if I've ever experienced a concert at a higher volume than I did. I left the pit fast because they turned it up to 11, man. It was crazy.
When I first got there, I walked into Go Figure Catering. And I sang a song with Amy Lee. Because when I got in there, Rich from the MM Army was eating kielbasa. And Preston, I started singing Kielbasa from Tenacious D.
Okay.
I was like so excited about it. And then I didn't know, but she was a couple of people in front of me. And then she started like singing it and like pumping her fist and everything.
What, the same thing?
Yeah.
Kielbasa sausage.
Your butt cheeks is warm.
Or warm.
Yes.
And she sang along to that?
Yeah.
You had a moment with Amy Lee?
About Tenacious D moment with Amy T about, or Amy Lee with about kielbasa sausage.
Yes.
Wow.
And
that's the best story I've heard so far.
Yeah.
And then they were out of kielbasa, so I didn't even, you know, I'm like, man, I sang a song and everything about it.
I sang your goddamn song, and now I'm getting robbed.
Oh, my God. Hey. I want to go to our friend Tucker, who's on the line. He wanted to comment on something. Hey, Tucker, how you doing, man?
Great, guys. Good to hear from you.
You too.
It was one of the greatest MMRBQs ever.
No kidding.
I got backstage for the Struts and Evanescence, and Chris Jericho came up to me. Goes, dude, you and I are the two loudest mother effers here.
What, were you being loud or something?
Yes, no. I was screaming and yelling.
Okay.
I got you. Extremely loud.
Wow. Excellent. So one of the best ones you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. I had one of the best times any concert I've ever been to.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. Cool, yeah. There were a number of people.
Happy to hear it, bud. Thanks.
It was our first barbecue. First. Right. Yeah. And they were just blown away.
There were a couple of cool moments that I experienced with
crowd members. Amy Lee and Kielbasa.
with crowd members. And one of them was when we were all together at the Blumpkin.
Yes.
There were three generations of a family there.
Yeah,
and
that blew my mind. And they're all wearing the same shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, talk about a freaking reach. And then from super young to older, all across, all different bands, there was, you know, committed Joan Jett fans there and Shinedown and the Struts. And it was just, and you know, the opening acts were getting lots of raves too. So. Yeah. I was thrilled.
Yeah, because I missed Bad Wolves altogether because I was at the Metro by T-Mobile tent. Yeah. And I got to say thank you to a listener. Her name is Karen Kelly. She came by and she's like, she gave me this like piece of jewelry that was so cool. It was like a piece of Trey Anastasio's guitar string that they put into a locket. And she's like, I saw this and I immediately thought of you. So I had to get it. And she gave it to me. I was just blown away. I was that was... It was so thoughtful.
How
thank
cool.
you. Yeah, thank you so much.
To think about you and then to go and bring it to you.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So many of those moments, especially in the Blumpkin where you're meeting everybody and taking pictures and getting to thank them for participating in the event.
Hey, so what was the story? Because Jackson and Sarah brought out a kid to introduce one of the bands. And it was his first MMRBQ, but I didn't get the backstory as to why he was out on stage.
I have no idea.
Was it Jackson? I thought it was Jackie.
I think Marissa.
No, it was Jackson and Sarah.
Oh, well, okay.
Marissa.
Well, so Jackie did it first.
Okay.
Jackie was
the same kid?
I think it was a different kid. He was broadcasting earlier in the day, and he was talking to a bunch of kids who were here for the concert. And the one little boy said, my favorite band is Bad Wolves. And so Jackie had the honor of bringing that band on stage. So he grabbed the kid, and he's like, you want to come meet them? And so he brought him on stage, and he let that little kid introduce the band.
Oh, that's cool.
And then
cool.
He was back in the hallway, and as they were standing in the hallway, each member of the band was slapping the kid.
That's awesome.
And so I think Jackson and Sarah did a very similar thing where they brought a kid on stage who was there for his first MMRBQ, which there were tons of kids there for their first concert/MMRBQ.
Yeah.
Was Jackie dropping F-bombs left and right with the little kid next to him, like Casey had pointed out from last year?
I don't know. I didn't hear it firsthand, so...
He's great with kids. He just doesn't quite know the boundaries of language, but otherwise it's all cool.
Or boundaries, period. Yeah. His nose was touching me at one point. Yeah, I was like, Jackie, you got to back up.
I got the close talking thing, too.
He was raised by condors.
He was actually in the hall when his nose was touching you.
you saw it, right?
Yeah.
Marissa? It sounds like he was able to restrain himself.
Oh, yeah?
All right, cool.
Jackie's giving the nod, seal of approval. He
all
did
right,
good.
Cool.
All right, wait, and so we were just watching video. Was that Fozzie, and was there a little kid on stage with them as well?
Oh, I don't know, Maris.
And then I think a band brought up a kid to sing, too.
To sing.
That's awesome.
Might have been them.
If you go to WMR's Twitter page, there are tons of tweets from audience people kind of explaining some of these stories and a lot of backstage photos and just a lot of cool stuff.
And thanks, thank God for that, because you could not absorb it all. There was so much going on.
Did you see Shinedown's workout truck?
No, I did not see that.
So, you know, there's a loading dock in the back of the stage where all the bands pull up these tractor trailers and they unload their equipment. The roadies pull them out onto this platform and leave them there, and then they move them and the next band comes in and so on. So I was walking by when I had first got there, and I was headed over to the Ben Franklin side of the pavilion to go jump on the air with Jackson. And I go by a truck, and Brent Porsche happened to be backstage as well. And he knows the guys from Shinedown.
Yeah, he's
and so
good
I
friends.
See the guy. I see a guy in the back of a tractor trailer. You know, I guess the trailer part.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so there was a punching bag hanging in it. You know, a big heavy bag, and there was a guy pushing a weighted sled back and forth.
Really?
And so it was the guys of Shinedown. They were exercising. They have a truck that's loaded with all their exercise equipment.
Oh, like to get worked up for the show and stuff?
Either that or just it's their daily exercise, you know, because they spend all their time on the road. And so if they can't get to a gym, I would imagine they've got a gym right then and there. But they were, they had ropes stuff. So,
wow. You
know, yeah, it was pretty cool. So they were getting their workout. We have Chuck D'Amico who's here. Hey, man.
Oh, sorry. I can't hear anything.
It's already on.
So one of the coolest things was leading up, we had given away some tickets at some appearances. Some listeners were entered to win an autographed guitar from Shinedown.
Yes.
So we were able to get the guitar, and I brought it to the band. One of the guys couldn't sign it. He wasn't ready because he was working out in that truck.
Oh, okay.
And then later we got it back, and we hadn't drawn the winner. So at the meet and greet, we asked the band if they would draw the winner, and they drew the winner right there in front, and the guy freaked out in the back, and it was really, really cool.
That's awesome.
That they picked the winner, they handed the winner the guitar, you know, they took photos with the guy and all that. It was really, really cool. Nice.
Everyone was super approachable, all the artists, you know, definitely there was just a great vibe.
Yeah.
Hang on a second. Donna is on the line. It was her son on stage with Jackie. Nice. Hi, Donna.
Good morning, Preston, Steve, MMR. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing wonderful. You guys must have had a blast.
I, unfortunately, had a Girl Scout event as I am a leader, so I had to miss the first part.
Oh,
I was able to come for Evanescence and see Amy Lee do her thing. However, I was getting videos and text messages from my husband bragging about the fact that, yeah, John's going to be up on stage. And, of course, the one great thing that I learned about my son is that he can't lie in front of a couple thousand people, which is great because he was supposed to say that he was 11. And he dropped that ball twice because he's actually 10. But I just wanted to say thank you.
Wait, why? Do they have to be 11 to go or something?
Of course. According to Jackie, that in order to either be on stage or even in the venue for the event, they had to be.
What?
The kids had to be 11.
Well, Jackie's a lawyer, so he knows all the rules and laws.
Yes. Jackie Bam Bam Esquire.
Yes, that's
so,
right. Yeah.
Just thank you very much. The fans, the MMR crew, the bands, honestly, just made my child's childhood.
Oh, that's
I
awesome.
Think I could ask for anything more from a radio station. I love you guys, first time, long time, and just very, very psyched that this was his first experience.
That's great, man. I love it. Festival shows like that, if you're going... Imagine that's your first concert, a festival show like that, where you have all a conga line.
Imagine if it's your first concert and you get brought out on stage. What's your next concert like?
Yeah, what are your expectations like after that?
Yes.
I mean, you've got to see Jackie's nose up close.
All right, Donna.
It's better than Universal Studios.
Take care. Glad you got a
Take care,
cool memory out of that. Wow.
It's like that nose from Double Dare.
Where's the flag?
Yeah, he's got a nose on him. But everybody seemed to be in good spirits. Pierre was having a good time. Bill Weston seemed happy throughout the day.
Bill edited me out of a photo. I thought that was nice.
Wait,
he
why?
Edited you
cropped
out of
me out of a photo.
Make sure you cut that guy out at the end.
Yeah, so here's Brent Porsche and Ryan Shuttleworth and Pierre Robert and Pancake and Jackie and Chuck. And then over here is Nick McElwain.
Oh.
Completely removed.
By the way, yeah, our picture, we pulled the audience and it didn't turn out.
Of course it didn't.
Yeah. Didn't?
Oh, yeah, we can't blame our photographers because, of course, photography is wonderful. And they have tons of pictures that we're posting that were great. But we had, you know, we try to do a moment where the crowd is behind us and we do a photo, which I always don't feel very comfortable doing.
Turning your back on a whole bunch of people, I think, is rude. That's why at one point I said, please enjoy our rectums while we take this picture.
Yeah. Well, we should have just done it as we were exiting. Like, we should have wrapped up, you know, and then just quick turn around, take a picture. But it didn't work out.
We didn't. And, and in fact, we tried to take a group photo later on that night, too, and that's not going to be.
They never work out. Very rarely. Yeah,
what do you mean? We took a group photo. Like, you mean our show or the big station?
No, our show. I know we took one, but I'm like, it's, you know.
Oh, it's cute.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's nice.
We're loath to believe that, but yeah, if you say so, okay.
We almost got barreled off the stage right before Shinedown. Like, we were all up there. Nick was there.
Yeah.
And the guys, you know, the stagehands, it feels like there's 50 of them up there.
Yeah.
You couldn't be anything but more annoying, like, so annoying to those guys. Like, we're just in the way.
Oh, of course.
And they're setting up the ramps, you know, for Shinedown's, like, larger setup. Uh-huh. And they're just like, watch your back, and turn around. And they're, like, coming at you with a big thing, you know, like, look like you're going to plow us right into the crowd.
Well, they like doing that.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah, they do.
And so we wrapped up, Chuck, and we got a group photo. And then I turned around and the ramp had, unbeknownst to me, been set up directly behind me. I almost walked up the ramp as we're getting as we're walking off a stage. I was like, oh, that's the wrong direction.
Somebody texted in and said they didn't think that Joan Jett did enough crowd work and think she'd kind of. But that's how she is.
Yeah. She's shy.
And she does right to the songs. Which actually I appreciate. Yes, you don't have to jump around and make everybody get up and do stuff.
When you're that cool, you don't have to do crowd work.
Yeah. And I was impressed. It's the only act I got out to see because we are, you know, we have things that we're actually doing while we're there. But I was very impressed.
Yes.
I thought she sounded great.
When she stopped the song because there was some feedback on one of the guitars, like I just looked. I'm like, oh, she runs that show.
Oh, she was pissed.
She was like, we're not doing this.
Yep. She'd stopped the song in the middle of it. They had gotten started. It was a brand new song and made the guy switch out the guitar. And
she goes, I'm not playing this for you for the first time with that sound in the background.
Yeah. So, but she wants it perfect the way.
And she's freaking Joan Jett.
Sound good. Yeah, Marissa.
Okay. So backstage, right after, just as Nick was telling that story about being on stage with Shinedown and we were going to leave, I was trying to convince Jackson to go stage diving with me because I wore pants. He wouldn't do it because the area was too far away. But the stage manager is standing there with us and he goes, yeah. And he says something about Goldfinger and poop on a paper plate. And I looked at him and I was like, oh my God, you just blew my mind. I told you guys this story about a band member pooping on a plate at a Goldfinger show at the TLA, like, 20 years ago, and nobody believed me.
Okay.
So I took a video with this guy. He's like, you have to tell the story so that everybody believes me. So I'm going to post it later today.
What, he knew the story?
Word for word. Like,
so
he
was there?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the night that Goldfinger became the super band that they are today.
Yeah, so the guy squatted and took a crap on stage, and everybody saw it? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And the face that you're giving me right now that nobody believes it is what happened when I told the story a few years ago and nobody believed it. And I hope that somebody listening would be able to call in and confirm the story.
One day, someone will validate my Goldfinger poops on stage story.
Her dream had come true.
It happened.
Marissa and I went to another concert after MM Barbecue.
No, we didn't.
We didn't?
No, we had a great time at the MM Barbecue.
Okay. All right. You guys should have discussed that ahead of time, I guess.
Apparently.
Well, it was a gathering of all the artists who have pooped on stage in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Well, listen, I hate to hear if you missed it, but let this serve as just a reminder about next year.
Yes.
When we start making the announcements about ticket sales to get them and come to the MM Barbecue. And you never know, you might get a perfect night weather-wise like that. And by the way, I don't know if you saw how big and bright the moon was at the later part of the evening.
Glorious.
It was beautiful. So it all came together. It was really, really cool. And kudos to our staff because there's a lot of work that goes on specifically our promotions and programming departments and engineering. There's a lot of stuff going on. And our salespeople. Our salespeople were there all freaking day.
Yeah, they got there like 10, 11 o'clock
in
the morning.
Yeah, because it takes a lot of support from clients, you know, advertisers of the radio station to help make the event what it is. And so they come out, and it's a big party for them, too.
Yeah.
And our sales staff has to be working that day to make sure that everybody is content and happy and has what they need. And, you know, we're entertaining, not just... you know, it's not just the bands entertaining the audience. It's us also as a staff entertaining some people that helped put that thing on.
Yeah.
So it was really, really cool.
Very important.
Yep. Can I tell you a quick Jackie Knows story?
Yeah, please do.
Jackie and I were watching the Struts right in the pit, and it's really, really loud. And it's one of those situations where if you want to say anything to each other, you have to yell it into each other's ear. Right? Yeah. You know what I mean? You got to like right up on each other's ear. So he wanted to talk to me, and while he's talking to me, he's yelling into my ear. So my ear basically made out with Jackie's nose because, because his nose is touching my ear, not just touching, like it's in my ear.
Oh my God.
And I'm just laughing because I can feel it could have been the most serious thing ever, but all I could do is laugh because his nose is way up in my ear. And then when he's done talking to me, the inside of my ear is all wet.
We love Jackie. But...
I have a theory.
Oh, my God.
No, I have a theory that he has no sensation in his nose. That there's like he can't feel anything. Like it's dead.
And that's why he
He accidentally touches you with it all the time because he doesn't even know he's doing it.
I think he just doesn't care.
Yeah. That might be it.
That's the legend of Jackie.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to take a break because we're going to come back in a moment. We're going to talk to director, writer, actor John Waters, who's going to be in town on Thursday. So we'll spend a little bit of time. He's got a book coming out, so we'll chat with him in just a moment or two. Don't forget our Word of the Week prize this week, $500 Mealy's furniture gift cards. We'll do the first letter at the end of the show as well. Be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Rival Sons. Godsmack. The Revivalists. You got some change inside your
pocket, but it doesn't change. New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
You know what? I think our next guest, who we've had on the show on a number of occasions, and it's nice to be able to spend some time talking with someone of his stature. I think this is, I think I'd put him on the list of like person I'd like to hang out with.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time with. And,
yeah,
and now
he's a Swiss Army knife of everything we like.
I think I'd be a little too vanilla for his taste.
but he would never be condescending. I think
no,
he would. No,
I agree. But certainly one of the most interesting people.
Yeah.
We've ever met, and he's going to be in town. You can actually meet him Thursday night because he'll be at the Free Library. He's got a book called Mr. Know It All: The Tarnished Wisdom of a Filth Elder, which is a wonderful title. Please welcome the incomparable John Waters to the show this morning. Good morning.
Thank you.
How
when
are you?
When you started out and said hang, I thought you were going to say from one person I'd like to hang. I said,
hang out
was a relief.
That would be a bad intro.
Yeah. Boy, I'd really like to see this guy swing. No, but you know what? I think it'd be, you'd be, are you a fun person to hang out with, John?
Well, hopefully I am. I like to hear people's stories. I like you to talk. I like to listen sometimes when I'm with people because I like to hear everybody's worst night.
Everybody's worst night is a great icebreaker, yeah. But you know, no one ever leads with that.
No, they don't. It's not the best way to get a date.
Right. I remember, you know, last time we had you on, I think it might have been was your last book which was a very interesting take on you and a road trip and, you know, picking up these...
Hitchhiking, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. And you were jumping in with some very interesting characters along the way, and it sounds like, you know... Maybe you got some of those stories from some people that you've met, whether they be fictional or not, in your book, and took those stories and kind of twisted them in your own way.
Well, the first part of the book is I imagined the worst that could happen and the best that could happen, and then I wrote what really happened. And it was a stunt. And in my new book, Mr. Know-It-All, there's kind of a stunt, too, because I take LSD at 70 years old.
I want to ask you about this because I was always fascinated with the Hollywood legend and lore of Cary Grant. A lot of people don't remember Cary Grant was taking LSD quite frequently. So you took your first LSD trip at 70.
No, not my first. first.
Yeah.
I did it 50 years ago.
Okay.
So I tried to remember what would it like to be old and take it again. I don't take drugs anymore. Are you kidding?
Right.
No, right? So I thought, but I never had a problem with drugs either. So I was a drug enthusiast, but never an addict. I was lucky because I never took heroin because I wasn't a jazz musician.
You weren't a jazz musician.
Yeah.
So in the book, you describe the experience. And because, you know, there's a friend of the show, Joe Rogan, he reminds me of the way Billy Jack would go into a sweat lodge and do peyote and go on these vision quests and all that stuff. Was that the impetus? Was that the mindset behind this LSD trip?
No, I just wanted to see what it was like, clean out the cobwebs. And I did it with Ming Stoll, my lifelong friend that I've known for 50 years. So we celebrated our friendship. I don't need to ever do it again. Are you kidding? Yeah. But I didn't want to do micro doses. You know, I don't want to do this twice.
The fact that that thought occurs to you is why we love what you do.
All right. So when you decided to take this, you consciously, you know, want to appreciate the experience. Were you just letting it flow, or were you analyzing it as you were starting to trip?
Well, you don't have much choice to let it flow.
Okay, all right. I wasn't sure. I've never done it.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You know, Dionne Warwick used to sing, "A house is not a home," but boy, a chair is a chair when you're on acid. You are the chair. So it was great. It was, you know, when you're young, you go, wow. When you're old, you go, whoa. But it's kind of the same feeling.
Okay.
It's funny because people who did it years and years and years ago, you know, it's one of, I believe, one of the drugs that can periodically, decades later, pop up in your system, and as the legend goes, and you can have a little bit of a mini trip later on. But at 70,
I never had a flashback, even though that's the title of the chapter.
Right.
I never had one in real life, and I doubt I'll get one again either.
So I wanted to ask you, because the reviews on the book are great, and you go through some of your years in Hollywood, and also the fact that you started as this provocateur and you were, you know, sort of a fringe filmmaker, and then you became this person who's working with Johnny Depp and I love Serial Mom. I just watched it over the weekend again. I love it.
Thank you.
I mean, so are you at that point, did you even have to look around and say, how the hell did I get here? Because it seemed like an incredible jump from where you were to being right square middle in Hollywood and working with these A-listers.
And I learned how to do it, though. You know, I always wanted my films to be commercial. And weirdly enough, Pink Flamingos was commercial. It's still playing, isn't it? It's 47 years later or something. So I always read Variety. I always read the trades. I remember the first time I ever played in Philadelphia. It was in a theater. I wish I could. It was Home. I could remember the name. But it was Mondo Trasho. And I sent the stills to the theater, and he booked me not even through a distributor. I came up, I put all the stills out front, and I got my first theatrical booking in Philadelphia just because I sent this guy the films and brought the film to him myself and everything. So you got to go out there and get it. Nobody's going to come knocking on your door.
No, and you were always proactive about that. What I love also is it conjures memories of what used to be a big thing and a culture unto itself, the world of the midnight screenings, the midnight showings, where you would see Pink Flamingos and you'd see these films pop up, and they had this whole culture of their own that would go, and it was almost the perfect time to go see these movies.
That ended when video came.
Video
out.
Killed it, yeah.
Because people could masturbate at home.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
It's so logical.
Yeah, it just killed it. Well, you know, VHS was the selected format. It helped the video wars. You claim that because porn adopted VHS over beta in the initial days.
But now all my old films are being re-released on these beautiful restored DVDs from Criterion, the classiest of all. They put out Multiple Maniacs, they put out Female Trouble, and I just was in the other day redoing Polyester that's going to come out with a new Odorama card. Another life. They keep coming out.
Let me explain to people who don't remember, Odorama was one of those great William Castle-type homages that you made, and it was... You would go, and I remember I went to see the movie. I kept the card. It was a scratch.
It still smells. That card from 1980. If you find it in your drawer, if you think there's a certain stink in your house, a rat didn't die. It's an old Odorama card.
Yeah, you'd have prompts to scratch and get your certain smells that were going on throughout the movie. Did you do you have cases of those in your basement somewhere, or is it?
I still have some of them. but they're kind of worth money now. You can sell them on eBay, but we have to do a new one. There were many different versions. The first one, then there were European ones. Then the Rugrats sequel stole my idea and did it themselves.
The little bastard.
Said to me, John, that was a homage to you. I said, in Hollywood, an homage is a check, isn't it?
It's hey, true.
John, I want to just tell you, but, you know, it's so wonderful. You talk about a project of yours that has legs, you know, Hairspray. So my son is in choir in high school, and I went to their spring performance over the weekend, and they did You Can't Stop the Beat. Now, I know that was, you know, you originally did, I know you're involved with the musical as well. And I don't know what your involvement was in the songwriting.
I didn't write the songs, okay. But God knows I approved them.
Oh, my yes. God. And what staying power. I mean, it's, you know, that stuff is going to stick around for a long time. That must make you incredibly proud.
Well, it does, and it was a sneak attack. Hairspray is the only devious movie I ever made. Because think about it. Your kids are doing it in grade school and high school, and it still has the same message that all my movies say, that the outsider wins. It encourages gay marriage. It encourages interracial dating. Things that people don't even understand. I've always said, even racists like Hairspray.
You know, it's true. But, you know, it's funny because I was thinking about. I'm a big fan of you know, the films of Ed Wood and Tim Burton's film in particular, Ed Wood. And you over your life have accrued all these people who, you know, whether it be Divine, you mentioned Mink Stahl or the actress who played, I forget her name, played Hatchet Face.
She died unfortunately recently. Kim McGuire.
Right. Yeah. But all those. Have you ever entertained the notion of a chronicle of their whole story? Because there's so many people that we're familiar with because of you. You know, has that ever been something you would consider doing, or you know?
Well, I somebody else should do that after I'm dead, so I don't have to object to it when they get it wrong. there have been people that have tried to buy the rights to Shock Value, which was my first memoir, which was about making of those movies, certainly. But Mink has her own career; she's really a good singer. Look it up on Google, it, and she has a great album out. She still works all the time, you know. Pat Moran has got Who Cast for Me, has gone on to win Emmys. Vincent Prenti has done a million TV shows and award-winning movies. So a lot of the people that started out with me went on to great success in show business, and some didn't want to do that, and they're still my friends, and unfortunately some of them are died, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that happens in all creative communities, unfortunately.
Right. John, how does Mr. Know-It-All differ from your other memoir, and what's the tone of this?
Well, the tone of it is a little bit, I admit more. I think it's more honest. I think I tell sort of some of the downsides happened to me, but I don't complain about anything. I make fun of everything that I love, actually. And if I have anything negative to say about any experiences, I don't name that person, really. Because, hey, I cashed the check.
Yeah.
You know, I went through the Hollywood system. It's tough, you know, but they treated me fairly. I have no complaints, and not one bad thing ever happened to me because of being famous.
Well, wow. I was reading a number of the reviews. Again, I said the reviews are pretty stellar. And one, though, I think it was in Kirkus or whatever, made point and kept going back to this, saying how you dispense remarkably sound advice on how to invest in art made by monkeys. Do you care to elaborate?
Yes. Well, it's the only movement left that you can afford, and it's about to buy now before it catches on. Because in the 50s, when Abstract Expressionist came out, it became a huge way to make fun of the new art, was have monkeys in zoos do them. And Betsy was the first one in the Baltimore Zoo. She became so famous, she toured America, and then was challenged by Coco, an ape,
yes,
in London, and they had a paint-off. But because of misogyny in the art world, all the famous Picasso bought one of Coco's Man Race, because Betsy was a woman, they went for Coco. So I'm really saying that zoos all around the country have monkey art hidden away and forgotten. That is the next movement.
I believe that, wow, and John. I'm willing to invest on simply brilliant. Your suggestion. Monkey art is the next great frontier. So, okay, well, you've heard
go
it from
Betsy, Baltimore Zoo.
Okay. So, John, you're going to be at the Free Library on Thursday. Is this a reading or Q&A or a little bit? Both. What are you doing?
I think it's a little of both. You know, I'll probably read some, and I think I have to look on that when I'm doing a conversation. And yeah, it'll be with the audience. And I think I've been there with the last two books. It's a great place to do it. And I'm for the library is where, as a child, I looked up the first devious things I ever wanted to find out about. So I am very much for the library.
Excellent. Well, listen, we're big fans. We appreciate it. And we love that you keep coming back to Philadelphia.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, no problem. John Waters, yeah. Guys, thank you so much, sir. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You can get tickets, by the way, at libraryphila.tix.com. You know what he just said there at the end that totally rings true and I never even thought about? All the deviant things, this is pre-internet, mind you, that you maybe wanted to find out about. We went to the library to
find out. I was just thinking about the same thing because part of the deal when we were kids, my dad on it was either she was probably Sunday afternoon or you like throughout the winter we'd go. One of the stops every weekend was to go to the library and we'd go and take out a, and that's where I was taking out stuff about demons and you know every weird thing that I'm into now, sci-fi and horror movies, yeah. and all that stuff and serial killers. It was all available at the library.
And not to mention, somebody would always find boobs somewhere.
Photography.
And you would be able to locate those somehow through words, you know, word would get around.
Yeah. National Geographic.
Yeah. Yep. Their anatomy, photography, those.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. So I love that guy. That's great that he's going to be in town again. Speaking of the library and all things Scholastic.
Yes.
Some graduations have already started to take place across the country. And a really interesting thing happened at Morehouse College.
Yeah, this is very cool.
On Sunday. And we have the audio that will play of this. But a guy, he's a billionaire. His name is Robert F. Smith. Made an announcement. So he had already gifted the school $1.5 million. Very generous.
And he had attended Morehouse.
Yeah, exactly. So, but during his remarks, there were about 400 graduating seniors. He's a technology investor and philanthropist. But he made an announcement to the entire graduating class that he was going to grant to eliminate the student debt of every single student graduating. Whoa.
So they did the math on it. Yeah. About $40
million. $40
million.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And they said, like, the kids were like, wait, like, just this year? Like, all 4 years? Just the front row? Us? Like, all, you know? And he was like, no, yeah. Everyone.
Yeah. I'm sure everybody in the class of 2018 and 2020 are like,
seriously?
Well, listen. Yeah, yay! But he's been generous in the past. Yeah. This is stellar.
I thought the same thing, but listen, you do what you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't help everybody, and unfortunately not everybody gets to be there at the right time.
Some people are suckers. Yeah. You know?
But how amazing.
Was he the guest speaker, I assume?
Yeah, he was the
commencement speaker.
Yeah, so maybe the class of 2018 should ask him to speak at their
home. You know the school's going to ask him every year.
You effed up. You trust us. Yes.
Here's the clip of him making the announcement.
On behalf of the 8 generations of my family who have been in this country, we're going to put a little fuel in your bus. Now, I've got the alumni over there, and this is a challenge to you, alumni. This is my class, 2019, and my family is making a grant to eliminate their student loans.
I think there's a little confusion along with happiness. Yeah. Wait, is he?
What does that mean?
It starts getting louder. And it did take a while because there's video of people like looking around like, what is this? Yeah, so he's eliminating all of their debt for their. Yeah, it's just
that's
astonishing.
That is
amazing.
To give you some perspective, in this article, they talked to a couple of people. A guy named Tonga Relaford, whose son Charles is a member of the class 2019, estimates that his student loans are about $70,000.
Which is, you know that it's a story here. A lot of this debt cripples students when they get out of college.
Elijah Demorius, a business administrator major, said, I could do a backflip. If I could do a backflip, I would. I am deeply ecstatic. Resident of Harlem, Dormius was carrying $90,000 in student debt. His 5 siblings all came to Atlanta to see him graduate along with his mother. In the commencement speech, Smith had said being on the bus toward success isn't enough. You want to own it, you want to drive it, and you want to pick up as many people as you can along the way.
Yeah.
And then he charged them. He said he charged the class 2019 with doing its part to improve the lives of Black America. Morehouse is a mainly Black university or college. He said, I'm putting some fuel into your bus, and I'm counting on you to load up that bus.
All right, quick question, though. Where does this fall with, like tax?
They're going to get killed.
No. Obviously, I'd rather pay the taxes on a $90,000 gift than paying $90,000, but... are there any tax implications?
I'm not sure if this or how it's worked out or what the deal is.
Yeah,
but I mean,
the legality is going to be, it's not going to be real easy for them to take care of all that. And it's probably going to take a little while to get to everybody and get it all done. And one or two people may fall through the cracks and something's going to happen. You know that happens. Yep. When you're talking about hundreds of people getting something, something's going
to
happen.
$40 million, though, to make that donation. To put it in and now this is a generous thing on her part, but Oprah... I think it was $500,000 she donated to her alma mater.
No kidding.
Yeah. Wow. So,
by the way, before we go to the Oprah clips, Angela Bassett was received an honorary degree that day at Morehouse, and she spoke as well. She referenced Martin Luther King Jr. and suggested the class of 2019 might emulate him but take their own path. So that's a big 1-2 commencement. Your speakers at your college, Angela Bassett, and then this guy who's gifting $40 million.
I mean, that's awesome. That's just astonishing.
All right, so here's Oprah. And do we know where she was speaking?
Yes, give me 2 seconds. She was speaking at, it was DeVry, Preston.
the people that are left for VCR repair.
And gun repair.
And gun repair.
Don't forget gun repair. One second, I apologize.
No, that's all right. I didn't catch where she was speaking.
An institute of learning. Oh, here we go. Right.
A college of some sort?
A college of some
Colorado
sort.
Colorado College.
Colorado College, of course. I was just holding out to heighten the excitement.
Okay. So
I'm
here's,
so excited.
Yeah.
Here's her speaking to Colorado College.
So you can pick a problem, literally any problem. The list is long. And the truth is, you cannot fix everything. But what you can do is make a decision. And the decision is that you will use your life in service.
Okay. And that was part one. And then part two is this.
And you will speak up. You will show up. You will stand up. You will sit in. You will volunteer. You will vote. You will shout out. You will help. You will lend a hand. You will offer your talent and your kindness however you can. And you will radically transform whatever moment you're in.
Arnold agrees.
Of course, that's her deal. And scoring Oprah is a big deal. You know, she's gotten to be kind of the champion of commencement speeches.
Yeah.
She comes in and does the full inspirational thing.
Do you think she even accepts a fee?
I think she demands a fee. No, she probably doesn't. She would, or maybe she, who knows, maybe she donates it to charity or whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
Not or maybe sure. She takes that money and donates it back to the school.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Ian, who's a CPA, who's going to clear up the tax question for you, Casey. Cool. Hello, Ian. Good morning.
Good morning, you guys. Rock.
Thank you, man. So what do you think? This guy walks in, says, I'm going to pay your student loan debt. What do you think happens after that?
The tax on a gift to the guy who's getting the gift is zero. Oh. If somebody walks in and gives you $1 billion, you owe zero tax.
Okay, so
it's on the giver.
All right, so the actual he giving out $40 million worth of coverage for their debt, he is the one who'll have to pay the tax on that?
Exactly.
So would if you're a betting, so he's going to cover the cost, so there'll be a cost in and above that $40 million because they calculated out what they believe to be the outstanding student debt, and so he'll have to add on top of that. So what percentage more, how much more do you think he'll pay in taxes to make this donation?
It's about 40%.
Okay.
Wow.
It's substantial.
Wow.
Damn.
Yikes.
So maybe he's going to reconsider. Listen, I spoke out of turn a little while ago. I did not do the number crunching.
Yeah.
This isn't happening.
Yeah. Many of you in the first row will get your debt defrayed, at least. We'll work out a program. You come by the house and do some work.
Well, maybe that $40 million estimate includes that. I doubt it, but who knows?
Yeah, that's still, I mean, come on.
It's great for him, though.
Yeah.
It's great for him.
It's great for everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Ian. Appreciate it, buddy.
You guys rock.
All right, thanks, man.
Thank you.
What was that plot line on The Office? Where was it Scott's
thoughts? Oh, he had Scott. Yeah. It was great. He had said he had told these kids that if they got a certain grade point average, I think it was at an all-African-American
school. It was, yeah.
That he would cover their tuition. He had no ability to do that. No.
And then they're graduating from high school.
He forgot about it.
Completely forgets about it. 12 years later, they honor him. There's like this whole dance number. It was just like, Casey, I don't know if you saw it, but it's like painful to watch. It's cringeworthy. And he has to tell these kids who are now graduating with honors that he's not going to send any one of them to college.
And what was his deflection that he was going to?
I forget.
I mean, it was so you're watching just sweating. It's painfully hilarious.
He had told them when they were in like kindergarten or something.
And there's pictures of these. God. These are my kids. They're my kids.
Yeah. I think it was Scott's Tots, right?
I think that's it. Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And if they achieved a certain GPA and everything, he would cover it all.
12 years later,
they do it.
Did you guys get any graduation gifts of any?
My parents were just glad that I finished college.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, let's start with high school, because I've got a high school graduate in a couple of weeks, and I haven't even considered getting
a
gift. I should definitely get a gift. Yeah, we're going to have a get-together.
Yeah, just a bunch of friends came over, you know, and it was pretty casual, but I didn't get to go anywhere or get a car or anything like
college
that.
College is usually, I think, where you're going to get a little bit more on you get an offer of a trip or you get something that's a little bit more substantive. But for high school, it was, we had a party. There's a couple of friends that, you know, donated, but gave the gift of like a, you know, bonds or something like that. And, mm-hmm. and it was, but it wasn't anything extravagant.
Yeah. We got money to kind of start, you know, help start whatever you needed for college.
Yeah, okay.
And then after college to, you know, kind of get moving.
And that's usually what they are, right? A high school graduation gift. If you're going to a high school graduation party, you're an adult or whatever, kind of gift.
Don't bring them a gift.
$40 million. Dollars.
Are you just talking about what you should get for your own kid for?
I was saying, what did you get?
Yeah.
I don't recall.
Yeah, I don't think I got anything.
Yeah.
Couldn't
have been that good then.
Yeah. But college.
Like if you'd gotten $40 million, you would have remembered that.
College, I got a party, which was a gift because then people that came to the party ended up giving me money.
So. Right.
Yeah. My mom asked me when I graduated, would you like a party or would you like some money to like go travel somewhere?
Yeah.
And I said, I'll take money to go travel somewhere. And then she said, you're getting a party.
Yeah. party it is.
Party it is.
They had a party for you?
Yeah.
It was fun?
Yeah. Okay. My cousins, they had their grandfather, he made more money than my dad did. They all got Rolexes when they graduated college.
Wow.
Whoa. All 11 grandchildren.
Come on. I went to a graduation party yesterday, and what's wild is a lot of the kids that were there I haven't seen in a while.
Was Oprah there?
Oprah was not there, but it's wild seeing all of a sudden
adults,
people on the brink of adulthood.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, man.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make you feel bad?
I'm
going to be dead soon.
What's the proper word? Yeah, it's a...
An eye opener?
I guess so.
Sobering.
Or it's what's that?
Sobering
kind of. Yeah. It was just weird, unexpected. I'm like, oh, I am getting older.
But you know what? You know, it's the way life goes, man.
Yeah, man.
It's all about it.
Yeah.
You guys are just little kind of kids. Now you're grown up, and it's beautiful.
It's strange. I'm gonna
go away.
I'm gonna go to Paul, who is a tax lawyer, wants to comment on the money thing again. Hi, Paul. Good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you? You rock.
Thank you. All right. Do you want to chime in on the legalities of giving all these kids this money?
Sure. It's perfectly legal, and I think he will have his – I'm sure he has lots of tax lawyers and tax accountants rather than just CPAs.
Yeah.
If I were advising him, I'd have to look at everything, but I think he'll work out a way to make a charitable contribution to the school, and the school will refund their tuition payment. So they can repay their debts, and he won't have to pay more than the $40 million.
That sounds like an easier way to go about it.
Right. Yeah. Instead of just giving, like, pulling up with a big truck full of money.
Right.
Yeah.
Go grab what you need.
A little bit easier.
Yeah, it's probably a better way to go about it.
A dump truck full of change.
Yeah, it's out there in the parking lot. There's a big pile, and everyone gets a shovel.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
All right.
Yeah, whatever would be the worst way to do it, that's how I would do it.
I wonder if other billionaires will step up and do something like that.
I think they're just biting at the bit.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
they're all like, oh, great.
Right, exactly. Great. Oh. And I call upon the other of my compatriots. Yeah, we'll do that.
Wow. What a surprise, though. It's pretty damn cool. And we're in the thick of it now. It was like prom season this past week or so.
Yep.
And now we're getting into graduation.
So a number of the schools have already, is Temple done?
Temple's done. Nova,
colleges, yeah.
Nova was on Saturday. St. Joe's was on Saturday.
Right.
And then and high schools are
and
coming
the high
up.
School's in 2 weeks?
Yeah, roughly between any time between now and 2 weeks or so. They're wrapping it up. So.
God almighty. So, you're going through the process.
Going through the process, exactly. Yeah. All right, listen, we do need to take a break. We're going to go ahead and do that very thing right now. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll get to the beef out. You know, I'll reiterate our announcement we made earlier. Bert Kreischer's coming to town, and I'll tell you about his show and tickets and all this stuff when we get back. Stay there. Hey, gang, we need your blood. It's time to roll up your sleeve for the I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive, Saturday, June 15th.
Last year was the second largest blood drive in the nation, and with your help, it'll be number one this year.
So we're headed to the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks for this year's drive with kids' activities from Aim High Studio and Paint a Treasure Ceramics, plus Rita's Water Ice and Alex's Lemonade Stand.
The Red Cross is always in need, especially leading into the summer months, so make an appointment now at WMMR.com.
All donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt and this year's pint glass from Window Nation.
Hundreds of donors will be randomly selected for free tickets to one of these concerts at the BB&T Pavilion, the Smashing Pumpkins and Noel Gallagher on August 8th,
or Alice Cooper and Hailstorm on August 16th. Tickets for these shows are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Our 14th annual I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive
from the American Red Cross Penn Jersey Blood Services Region
and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
So with the wrap-up of Game of Thrones last night, I won't tell you the fate of the Iron Throne, but Steve has long said over the past couple months, he keeps mentioning this, is that we need a throne for me here in the studio. And I think it would be, if we were to do something like that, if it had mic stands instead of swords coming up in the back, like a whole bunch of mic stands. Not a, like, you know, Dave Grohl's guitar throne and everything. I'm warming up to that idea.
Well, I just think it'd be great, like, if a guest comes in and you don't even mention it, but then you're just like sitting in the throne, you know. It gives you a little bit of height, you know, but you can still operate the board.
Well, maybe there's some metal workers who could do something like that.
What about Brian Carlisle? He's the guy. The Weston Bill Incorporated. He did the Golden Carriage Bolt Award.
Very talented.
He's talented.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, do you remember the guys who made that fire pit? That had WMMR.
Yes, those guys are excellent.
That might be the type of people would want on something
they
like that.
They came to a camp out, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We auctioned off that fire pit for money to go to the Camp Out for Hunger. It was really cool.
So there's one, we're looking at one that's golf clubs.
Yeah, there's Tiger Woods. They had him sit in something like that, which is really cool. That looks great. But I think mic stands with a variety of different microphones, you know, different like a ribbon mic or you know, different styles of mics might be kind of cool.
This way, when yours starts squeaking, you can just pull a microphone around from the chair.
Yeah, exactly.
Wrong. Yeah.
One of them has a gooseneck on it, you know.
like in a bank.
It'd be awesome. So, hey, get started on that, creative people. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Build me a throne now.
Please.
Yeah.
My serfs, build me a throne. All right. We should do the bizarre file. Let me reiterate this information. I'm not going to give away tickets to this. I'm just going to mention, because we did in the last bizarre file, we made an announcement. That Bert Kreischer's coming to town. And he's going to be playing at the Met. We're going to talk to Bert on Wednesday because there's a pre-sale that's happening that morning where you can get tickets. But the date of the show is Saturday, July 27th, a Saturday night, hanging out with Bert Kreischer at the Met. Sounds perfect.
I have to imagine it's going to sell out in pretty short order.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, especially it's a perfect confluence.
Seeing his last special, his Netflix special, that was at the Trocadero.
Yeah.
He was scouting locations when the Eagles had the Super Bowl parade, and Bert came down to our location where we were broadcasting live, and he was telling us all about how they were going to set the venue up and everything, and then it looks so great on camera. So you know the Met's going to be awesome. Just mark that on your calendar. Tickets go on sale Thursday at noon at Ticketmaster.com, but there is a pre-sale on Wednesday. The complete information, password, and all that is at WMMR.com. We'll talk to Bert on Wednesday. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All righty. The Bizarre File this morning is brought to you by A.D. Moyer. AD Moyer Lumber is celebrating 80 years of supplying quality building materials and service. Four generations, one family, one commitment. Learn more at admoyer.com. Well, a British tourist who booked a $200 a night home in Amsterdam through Airbnb was stunned to find out that the cottage was actually a shipping container set up on the roadside.
Just a shipping container?
Yeah. Ben Speller arrived in the Dutch city ahead of a football match, hopeful of finding somewhere cheap and cheerful. Mr. Speller was delighted when he came across the listing for a clean home in Amsterdam with a private bathroom.
Well, they got the cheap part.
But the Londoner received quite the shock after arriving at his one-night stay to be met with a gray shipping container with three mattresses and a portable toilet inside it. I mean, it looks like a giant trash can is what it looks like. He said, we had already driven past the container three times in the taxi trying to find the place. We thought, this can't be it. But we got out and turned out that it was true. We opened the back door to look inside, locked the door, and left, and then we went to a hotel. Mr. Speller is asking the owner for a refund, but the request was denied, leading to Airbnb refunding the man his money as well as for the hotel booking itself. So they're making good on that.
I've been on Airbnb shipping container. Yeah. Maybe he got confused.
The home, described as a cottage by a host calling themselves Jacob, was taken off the site shortly after Mr. Speller raised the complaint.
Well, one man's cottage is another man's shipping container.
So this is pretty great. It's a very, very short story. I saw the video of it last week. Maybe you guys saw this too. A video that shows a welder accidentally trapping his own head between railings while he was attaching a metal bar.
Oh,
you see that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah.
So he leaned over. It's kind of hard to explain, but when he was done welding it, he realized he couldn't get his head out. It shows him poking his head underneath the top bar, not realizing, and he was putting the lower bar underneath there, and he had trapped himself. Luckily, a saw was within his reach, and he was able to cut himself free. It's unknown where the video was taken. It's pretty damn funny, though. The build-up to a wedding is stressful enough, but one couple were dealt a devastating blow in the week before their big day that threatened to put the whole thing in jeopardy. A bride-to-be took to Facebook seeking advice after discovering that her fiancé's 16-year-old son had gotten her 15-year-old daughter pregnant.
Whoa! Oh my God.
Whoa! No. Right before they were supposed to get married.
Hey, we got you a gift.
The anonymous woman revealed that it was 5 days before their nuptials and questioned whether or not they should still go ahead with their plans to get married. Explaining she and her fiancé had been engaged and planning their wedding for a year, the woman wrote, he has a 16-year-old son, I have a 15-year-old daughter. We are now 5 days away from the wedding. Yesterday, my 15-year-old daughter and 16-year-old son both told us that she's pregnant and he's the daddy. She concluded the post with, now what? Asking if she should still get married or not. Obviously, people were chiming in with their opinion on it. No clear-cut decision has been made as of yet. That's wild.
You know those little rascals.
A New York Police Department officer was arrested after she tried to have a hitman hire to kill her ex-husband as well as a child.
I think you would know that that's illegal if you're a police officer.
If you're a cop, right? Valerie Cincinelli tried to get her current boyfriend to hire a hitman. Cincinelli was arrested by the FBI following a sting operation. The child was her current boyfriend's 14-year-old daughter. See, I'm a little confused. I don't know if that's right or not. Why would she have her boyfriend try to hire a man to kill his own daughter?
It's,
I don't know.
Easier to just have your kids have sex with each other,
yeah,
like the last story.
And get them knocked up. Yeah. So the officer's father spoke out defending his daughter, saying that he doesn't believe she did it. Lou Cincinelli said, I guarantee you my daughter is innocent on this. The officer previously worked out of the 106th precinct in Queens before being placed on modified duty in 2017 for an unrelated domestic incident. Before that, though, she was an award-winning officer. According to a complaint filed by Cincinnati, by federal prosecutor, she made a cash withdrawal of $7,000 from a bank to give to a cooperating source identified as her current boyfriend, who would in turn give it to the hitman.
I thought hitmen a lot cheaper than I thought they would be. $7,000?
Yep. Yep. On or about May 8th, the complaint says Cincinnati told her boyfriend to, quote, have the hitman kill Jane Doe over the weekend and then wait a week or a month to kill John Doe, because they're not naming these people. A review of the boyfriend's cell phone and text messages between him and Cincinnati confirms that they communicated using cell multiple times. Cincinnati was notified in person by a detective at her home that her estranged husband had been murdered. The boyfriend was present with Cincinnati at the time of the notification, outfitted with a recording device at the direction of law enforcement. After the detective left the home, Cincinnati allegedly began to discuss her alibi. Then an FBI agent posing as a hitman sent a text message to the boyfriend, which included a photograph of the alleged crime scene in which Cincinnati's estranged husband appeared to be dead in his car.
Whoa.
And a demand for an additional $3,000 to kill Jane Doe.
Okay, so the seven...
they'll stage those, you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So the $7,000 was not for both. It wasn't a BOGO.
No, it wasn't a BOGO. Yeah. You had to pay an extra $3,000 to
right.
get a daughter.
I mean, it's not ridiculous. Maybe you have a coupon or something.
In response, Cincinnati allegedly instructed her boyfriend to delete the text messages and photographs, citing fear that law enforcement could subpoena the phone. That's messed up, man.
Jeez.
And unfortunately, we got to end it there. We got to wrap on that particular story. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. We'll see if you've been paying attention this morning. We'll have a lesson question with a prize in conjunction with that, as well as the trash of music news. We'll be back in just a moment.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We have the Preston and Steve Show Monday morning. Nice warm day. Summer. You can call this a summer day. That's what it feels like. 90 degrees. First time we're hitting that temperature. For the season, or year, I should say. But then back to spring tomorrow, 74 and 77 on Wednesday, 80 degrees on Thursday. That's good-looking stuff, man. Like it. Let's see. We have some stuff to give away. We have a lesson question we're going to ask, and up for grabs today is a pair of tickets to see Marvel Universe of Superheroes, which is now open at the Franklin Institute. Multitude of questions to choose from today. And there's almost too many for me to really go for, but I think I got to go with this. What was the last racist line on Cheers? If you remember the ending of Cheers, Sam goes to the door because there's somebody that wants to come in. We never see who it is.
Yeah,
somebody
yeah.
who wants to come into the bar. But unfortunately, he has to tell them this.
Just ruined it.
It was the last racist line. The series finale of Cheers, 215-263-WMMR. Call now, and we're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, it's brought to you by... It made me laugh so much.
It would be so outlandish.
What is brought to you by Sequoia Outback. Sequoia has everything you need to create your backyard oasis. Memorial Day sale is going on now. Visit them on Route 309 in Hatfield or at DeckSupplies.com. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Lamar Odom has revealed he used a prosthetic penis to pass a drug test to play in the 2004 Olympics. Even more alarming, he passed the test after mailing it to them.
Wow.
Hey! I mean, you'd think they would know at that point. Arnold Schwarzenegger was attacked and kicked in the back by a young man while appearing at a bodybuilding event in South Africa. Arnold tried to make light of the attack, saying, "I'll be kicked in the back," but everyone just groaned and walked away.
Wow.
And finally, former Kylie Jenner boyfriend and sort of rapper Tyga failing to show up for a performance at a San Diego club on Friday night. The audience was reportedly so angry that the guy stormed out and left in his car.
All right, let's see if you can give us the answer to this. What was the last racist line on the TV show Cheers? And I will go to DJ to see if he knows the answer. Hey, DJ, how you doing, man?
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? DJ, what was the last racist line on Cheers?
We don't serve your kind.
Yeah, that's correct. That is correct. Hang on a second, man. DJ, we are going to give you a pair of tickets to see Marvel Universe of Superheroes. Now over to the Franklin Institute. Explore Marvel's legacy through immersive set pieces, original artwork, movie props, costumes, and more. An exhibit for the hero in all of us. Get tickets today at fi.edu. I also want to give a couple of honorable mentions from some other lines that could have been the lesson question today. Which raccoon is going to take care of all the other zombie raccoons in Chicago? That was Negan Raccoon.
Negan Raccoon.
And I love this. Where does the gang head after winter ends at Game of Thrones? Spring break, baby!
Well, winter's coming, and then it ends, and then it's spring.
Yeah. All right, we need to do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, unfortunately, going to lead with some terrible news in music news. Gabrielle Crahan, who is the 20-year-old daughter of Slipknot percussionist and co-founder M. Sean Clown Crahan, died on Saturday, and no cause of death has been revealed as of yet.
So I'm looking at the pictures. This lovely young lady, clearly, you know, her dad, proud pictures with her dad, and they don't know what happened.
Yeah, I you know, I mean, you...
I know what you... What
immediately,
comes to your mind,
you jump to an overdose or something like that, but I have no idea exactly what happened. But Sean announced his daughter's passing in a social media post on Sunday, writing, "It is with a broken heart and from a place of deepest pain that I have to inform all of you that my youngest daughter, Gabrielle, passed away yesterday. She was 22 years old. Funeral arrangements will be forthcoming. My family is asking that our privacy be respected moving forward. Thank you." Corey Taylor offered his condolences via Twitter, writing, "My heart is broken for my brother. Please keep the Crayon family in your thoughts and love. She will be missed." She was one of four children that he had with his wife, Chantel, whom he married in June of 92. Gabrielle's brother, Simon, and older sister, Alexandria, both expressed their grief over her death on social media. Passing came just after Slipknot performed live for the first time in over 2 years. They were on Jimmy Kimmel on Friday night. They unveiled their new masks and their single Unstained last week as well. So horribly tragic.
It is.
Terrible, terrible. Blink-182 bassist Mark Hoppus has responded to some of the more divisive reactions from the fans over the trio's new single, Blame It On My Youth. Speaking on the Blink-155 podcast late last week, Hoppus remarked, "When people react strongly one way or the other on a song, I think it's better than someone coming out with something coming out and people being like, meh." He said, "Blink always has done our best work when we keep our head down, write stuff that we love, that's important to us, and people have come on a journey with us. And I can't try and write a song to hit a moving target of what I think people are going to expect. Blink is or should be, or what they want Blink to be." He says they just write whatever comes out, basically.
"You sound insane."
He also denied allegations that the band has tried to write songs expressly for radio airplay, saying, "We never sit down with the intent of, let's write a radio single, because what is a radio single? I don't know what works on radio," he said.
I mean, so, have you heard the song?
I did.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I think it sounds great.
Is it very Blinkish?
Very, very Blinkish. In fact, I'm trying to think of how the melody goes in my head, but, I mean, when it first starts off, it sounds like another song.
Do we have it?
No,
we
don't.
There it is.
That's it. Space People.
I knew it sounded familiar.
They're very much into that stuff.
Blame It On My Youth is taken from Blink's upcoming studio album, which Hoppus admitted is still being mixed, and the title and final track listing is still to be determined.
I think it goes like, "Blame It On My Youth." All right, you guys know it.
It does sound familiar. "Not much you can do, then blame it on my youth."
Yes.
Catchy.
Yes.
No question. Marilyn Manson will appear in the upcoming HBO series, The New Pope, a follow-up to the controversial 2017 show, The Young Pope.
That was the one with Jude Law, right?
Yeah. Also appearing on the program will be actress Sharon Stone.
As Mrs. Pope.
Both Manson and Stone are known to have been big fans of The Young Pope.
This is the message.
No detail of the roles have been revealed, but a photo released of Manson suggests that the rocker will be playing a character not too different from his public persona.
Okay.
The rest of the cast includes Jude Law, who played the Pope in the first series, along with John Malkovich, who will play a Pope as well. Principal photography has finished on the show, but no air date has been set yet. Bush has shared a video for the song Bullet Holes, which is featured in the newly released movie John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum. It is unclear whether the song, which was written with film composer Tyler, Bates, will also appear on Bush's upcoming studio album. Gavin Rossdale said about the song in an interview, ironically, it was completely written, disconnected to the movie. I've done this record with Tyler Bates, and he's doing the music for the whole movie, and I wrote that song with him with nothing of that in mind. The words that I wrote just really fit with the whole symphony thing. And bullet holes, obviously, because that's what the song is called.
Do you remember that song in the movie, Case?
I don't.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I have no idea what time
where
of the
that
movie.
Song would have even been incorporated. No. Yeah.
In fact, the only time I remember there actually being music in the movie was like towards the end when some classical music was playing.
Yeah.
And I thought what you had said after you saw it on Thursday about it being high art.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
It's great stuff.
That's all you thought? Okay.
Well,
that's, we share a language.
Well, no, you checked out. So I was like, I'm just going to stop talking.
That's all right. Once again, proving that he's road ready, Mick Jagger took to social media on Saturday to post a quick clip of him on a black Stratocaster rocking out in rehearsal space.
Why is no one on MySpace?
Back on Thursday, Jagger posted a video to his social media platform showing him doing his legendary dance workout to the Wombats Techno Fan. The 75-year-old Rolling Stones frontman underwent heart valve replacement surgery last month in Manhattan.
Again, 75 years old, jumping around like this.
And has reportedly been given a clean bill of health by his doctors. Yeah, it's really impressive, actually. So,
but he's been doing that all his life, and that's why he, stays in that kind of shape.
Steve, I saved this for you and I.
Yes.
We're just talking about one of these guys, I think we were talking, well, we were talking about the Hardy Boys the other day.
Yes, Sean Cassidy and Parker Stevenson.
Yeah, well, Sean Cassidy played his first show in nearly 40 years because Sean had a little bit of a music career, too. He's David Cassidy's younger brother.
Yes.
From, obviously, David Cassidy from the Partridge Family and his, obviously, successful music career.
He had great hair.
But he played in Buellton, California's Standing Sun Wines. Cassidy, who is the younger brother of David Cassidy, is currently in the midst of a multi-year overall deal with NBC Universal Television and serves as a consulting producer on NBC's hit hospital drama New Amsterdam. He's a behind-the-scenes. He's been producing TV shows and movies for years.
Yeah. I didn't even know that. I thought he kind of fell off the face of the earth.
No, it says it leads with 1970s teen heartthrob turned major TV producer, well, Sean Cassidy.
Good for him. I was about to make a failing career joke.
Cassidy's gig, which is the first of six comeback shows, served as a mini biographical production with Cassidy telling some heartfelt and humorous stories about his life, family, and career.
I kind of always liked him.
He did some covers like Eric Carmen's Hey, Deanie. I don't know.
Deanie!
Isn't that what that looks like? Deanie?
Yeah.
Or Deanie?
Deanie?
That's rock and roll. From, also, The Love and Spoonfuls, Do You Believe in Magic?
A tribute
to his brother David on the Partridge Family classic, I'll Meet You Halfway. And he also did Do Run Run. Remember, he had that hit.
That was a hit for him.
Did Be My Baby, It's Like Heaven, and The Who's So Sad About Us. So I thought that was kind of interesting that the dude's back out there singing again.
40 years. Yep.
All right, and there you go. That is what I have.
You know what?
And I have a follow-up here.
Okay, there's one more thing if you want, and being that this is the day after the Game of Thrones finale.
Yeah.
Did you see the thing that they did where the guy clipped together the mashup so the entire cast is basically singing Ice Ice Baby?
Yeah, that came out a few weeks ago.
Oh, did it? Okay.
But you want to play a little bit of it?
If you want.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, stop. Collaborate and listen.
This is Zach with a brand new invention.
Something grabs a hold of me.
Tightly.
Flow like a half full.
Daily or nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Y'all, I don't know.
To help the lights and I'll go.
To the extreme. I rock a mic like a vendor. Light up a stage and I jump like a candle.
Oh, it's pretty good.
We did all kinds of clips from that, yeah. By the way, somebody texted just to let us know, hey, what you guys are singing other? That sounded like Blame It on the Rain from Milli Vanilli. That was the joke.
Space People really isn't a Blink 182 song.
We knew that. But thanks for noticing
and for listening.
You never
always err on the side of thinking we're stupid.
Yeah.
You should be right.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in just a moment or two, get that letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize, see if we can set somebody up with that on a Friday. But you need that letter first, the very first one. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. Hey, gang, we need your blood. It's time to roll up your sleeve for the I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive, Saturday, June 15th.
Last year was the second largest blood drive in the nation, and with your help, it'll be number one this year.
So we're headed to the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks for this year's drive with kids' activities from Aim High Studio and Paint a Treasure Ceramics, plus Rita's Water Ice and Alex's Lemonade Stand.
The Red Cross is always in need, especially leading into the summer months, so make an appointment now at WMMR.com.
All donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt and this year's pint glass from Window Nation.
Hundreds of donors will be randomly selected for free tickets to one of these concerts at the BB&T Pavilion, the Smashing Pumpkins and Noel Gallagher on August 8th,
or Alice Cooper and Hailstorm on August 16th. Tickets for these shows are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Our 14th annual I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive
from the American Red Cross Penn Jersey Blood Services Region
and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
We have a week ahead of us, friends. We got a lot to do. One of the first things we want to do is award our next winner of Coolest Teacher of the Year. We had this morning Hylam Regional High School's Coolest Teacher, Miss Christine Siaco, who came on, or Miss C, as she said.
Miss C.
But we're going to find out who wins tomorrow from Steinert High School. That's in Hamilton, New Jersey. And if you go to school there, then you are eligible to vote for the Coolest Teacher. Just text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name at 39333. We're doing this up till, I don't know, a couple more weeks, and then kids are off for the summer. A little thank you that we do.
In a way, when this comes around and a few people have texted and said that gets them in the mood for school wrapping up in summer. Man. So all these indicators that we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, you can feel it coming. Hey, I want to thank John Waters.
Yeah.
He's awesome. I love talking to him. He's so easy to chat with, and he's such a unique dude.
Yeah.
And he's going to be in our area. He will be at the Free Library on Thursday night, 7:30. Tickets at libraryphila.tix.com. And he's got a new book out. It is called Mr. Know-It-All, The Tarnished Wisdom of a Filth Elder. And he's got all kinds of interesting stories. So it was cool to have him on this morning. And I'll reiterate that we made an announcement about a show coming to town. Bert Kreischer is going to be playing at the Met on Saturday, July 27th. So we're excited to have Bert back in town. We'll talk to him on Wednesday about that show coming up. So hang in there for that. Pierre Robert has arrived.
Yay!
Hey, man.
Hey, you kids.
Nice to see you.
Well,
we spent the day together on Saturday.
We did. We had a lovely day.
It was fun. Did.
It really, and I don't know what your guys' consensus of it was, but I'm going to say pound for pound, vibe for vibe. I thought it was the best one we've ever had.
I'm in the ballpark with you, man, because, I mean, number one, the weather helped. It always is better when you have a pleasant day. But I didn't come across anybody that seemed like everybody seemed to be having fun.
I'm telling you exactly the same thing. I went up on the lawn. I love going up on the lawn. I did it twice. I went from side to side on the lawn in the late afternoon and then in the when Shinedown was on at the end of the evening. And that's where you can tell. That's where you can take the temperature of the crowd. They were in just great spirits. I mean, it was just lovely. And the crowd couldn't have been cooler. The bands couldn't have been cooler. The vibe couldn't have been cooler. And obviously the weather. There was a magical touch to it, I thought.
All of the improvements, those big screens that were facing out on the lawn, really made it very cool.
How late were you there, man?
Well,
you see, in fact, you hang out by the exit as people are leaving. Yeah. You always get audio of that.
Jackie and Brent and I were there. We were doing after show coverage as people were leaving. And then with each break we do, the security steps us another step in because they're like, please let us go home. And, you know, of course, I want to cover one little more aspect of when the lawn was mowed last. And by the time eventually we close it down and we had a huge crew, wonderful MM Army crew. And then Shinedown was still there. They weren't leaving till some bands have a thing where if they've been traveling night to night to night, their bus driver is required to sleep until a certain time. So they are not scheduled even to leave. So they weren't scheduled to leave till 2 a.m. out of the facility. So I went back to say goodnight to them. Some of them were still in the venue. And then Brent was on the bus, and I went back to say a quick goodnight to him. And then as all of a sudden I realized I left my bag at the broadcast tent. And so I said goodnight, and I went back, and I said, this is not feeling good. And it was pretty quiet out. And I go back, and the MMR me is long gone.
The bag there?
No, of course not. No, but they had it with them, but it was in my bag was in a bag under the table.
It was a double bagger.
It was a double bagger. And I go, oh, Magoo, you've done it again. So I shoved.
They grabbed it, right?
Well, no, well, it wasn't that I didn't have it, but it was my keys were in the bag.
Oh,
no.
Dude, Magoo.
I didn't know that. A piece of advice.
So it should stay in your pocket.
Always the keys above everything else. Keep those in your pocket.
Well, because I do so badly on losing wallet, keys, cell phone, they're always in this little bag I've been carrying.
Until you lose that.
Until I leave that. I didn't lose it. Right, I left it.
Keys and money. So I keep my money and credit cards loose in my pocket, deep in my pocket, and my keys. You can get around with that.
You can, but I didn't.
Is there an app on your phone that you can use?
Well, my car's in the shop, so I couldn't do that. So
you had a rental?
I have a rental. So so I could have. My car has a thing where you can drive it from the cell phone, but it was in the shop. So I said, I'll call the MMR. Maybe they're still within range. My cell phone was dead. And I go, oh, double Magoo. And then so I'm going.
Did Shinedown give you a ride home in their bus?
No, they didn't, but they passed me on the freeway, actually. It was funny. Because what happened was I'm walking along and a nice gentleman in a really cool four-door coupe or sedan says, "Yo, citizen!" And
you were walking?
Well, this was right in front of the venue.
Okay.
As I'm going, where do I get a cab around here? And I can't call an Uber because my cell phone is gone or, is dead. And I'm going, this is a bit of a sticky wicket. And and Camden,
but Camden's safe.
Camden is a place you want to hang late at night. Yeah. And so I'm going, okay. And then this guy sitting in his car right in front of the thing. Good citizen. I go, good day, citizen. Do you know where I might find a cab? And his name is Jamie. And he goes, I'm in the stagehand union. What's going on? We just finished. We just wrapped up. I go, well, I blah, blah, and explain my situation. He says, hop in. I'm driving you to town. I go, no, I can't possibly. And he did. God bless him. Oh, so Jamie,
there you go.
Stagehands Union, who had been there all day. They got there like at 7 a.m.
I think that's the guy we might have been hanging out with in the in catering.
He was a really nice guy.
I think I might have been him.
That was a super nice guy.
He's incredible. And he drove me. I couldn't have him drive me all the way to my house. So he drove me into town.
He was showing us this bag that he had stolen. It was really cool.
He's in it. No, I was just happy for him because he had just gotten a job, which is really tough to do when you get out of prison.
No, it's not the same guy. He had just had a baby, and he drove me into the center city, and then I got a cab, and I got home at 3 a.m. I slept till 3 p.m. the next day, and then then my cell phone was charged, and I had to Uber back to the station to get my keys, and then Uber forward more into Camden.
You had to go back to Camden?
Well, it's where my car was.
Oh, that's right. It's hard to keep track of where everything is.
Don't try to stay involved with my S. Wow. It's too much. It's too much madness. And then I got the car and I got in there and I drove into town. I had breakfast about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon. It was lovely. And sat in Rittenhouse Square and read my spy book.
All's well that ends well.
Yeah, it was a perfect day.
It's great.
Perfect day.
Another day in the life.
Yeah, man. It is
all in the book.
Yep. Yeah, that's got to come out sometime soon.
It'll come out. I'm sure it'll come out on time, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got to get a letter out of you. You ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
B as in beautiful barbecue.
All right. Excellent. And we have a $500 Mealy's furniture gift card. The savings are hot during the Mealy's Furniture Memorial Savings Event. Save 50% or more on everything in the showroom with free delivery and 0% financing. Plus, Mealy's will pay your sales tax. Mealy's Furniture, all the styles you love for less. We'll give that away on Friday. What's happening on the show today?
Well, a couple of things. Greta Van Fleet went on sale on Friday and instantly sold out. And Bill Weston tells me that the promotion crew is actively, feverishly working on a second show. So a possibility exists. Cross your fingers. We'll keep you updated on that. Secondly, we will be celebrating something very special on vinyl this week. Yesterday was Pete Townsend's birthday. I loved that thing you guys played on Friday of the Who playing the kids' instruments with Jimmy Kimmel. That's a regular bit of his, right?
Right, Jimmy Fallon.
Or Jimmy Fallon. Yeah. I get the Jimmy's confused, but I can't find my car, so it's all right. Since yesterday was Pete's birthday, what we're going to do today, and since I think over the weekend or Friday might have even been the anniversary of Tommy, the release 50 years ago, we're going to do four sides of Tommy this week. Side one today, side two tomorrow, side three on Wednesday, side four on Thursday at 2 o'clock as the vinyl cut. We'll do each of them on vinyl.
I love it. And the side one of Tommy is... you know, you may be familiar with the film soundtrack, but it, which is good and has right. its moments. But the original Tommy is just unbelievable.
The overture alone.
Yes. Love it.
Yeah. Magnificent. And, you know, into I'm a Boy and all that stuff. So that's coming up.
Excellent. That's going to be super duper special. Hang on a second. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jamie who gave Pierre a ride.
Yeah.
Hi, Jamie. How you doing?
Hey, Preston. How you doing? What's up, Pierre?
Jamie, may I say publicly, as I just did publicly, but now that you're there, you are a great citizen and a great human being.
No problem, Pierre. I told you anything for you, buddy.
Now, didn't you tell me you were going up to Jersey to work at MetLife Stadium or something?
I just got home about an hour ago. I'm actually on the way to take my son. It's his two-month birthday today. We're going to the doctor's.
How long have you been up?
Oh, God. I think I got about 8 hours of sleep in the past 4 days.
Okay, that seems about right.
For the barbecue, what time did you tell me you got there?
I got there about 5:30 in the morning and left one night about 2 a.m. when I took you home.
Whoa! That's the work our stage crews do, those great union men and women. Yeah. Jamie, tell me your last name again.
Sumbach.
Jamie Sumbach, a fine French name. You, sir.
No, German.
German.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. You're a great man, and thank you so much. What's your kid's name?
No problem, Pierre. What's that?
What's
my
your kid's
name? It's Axel James. He's 2 months today.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, all the best to him. And what's your wife's name?
Melanie Brill.
Cool.
Where do you shop?
Jamie, thank you so much. That was amazingly cool. You saved a spaced out DJ once again.
No problem. Anytime.
All right. Thanks,
Jamie. Have a good day.
You too,
buddy. Take care.
All right, man. That's cool. I don't think that's a guy we were talking to, though. So.
No, it wasn't? Okay.
Yeah, no,
well,
but still.
That was Jamie. That was
phenomenal.
My Jamie. You may have had your Jamie. I had my Jamie.
It was, they had just performed a Night of a Thousand Jamies.
So. Yes, they had, right.
All right, well, I'm going to take this moment to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show today brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Winner Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International. Tomorrow, talking to our buddy Rob McElhenney.
Yay!
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The core golf outing is coming up, and we'll get his info that he wants to pass along about that. Tomorrow's Tuesday. It means we'll give away a free tattoo, a Tattoozday, and a bunch of other stuff. So that's it. We are done, and rage on, and have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
With HBO, spent 10 years watching this show. It should be how it should be. Not just finish it because you can finish it. Give us more seasons. Give us more episodes, you dumb.
Next message.
Oh, another one is the books, man. MMRBQ 2019 is awesome, man. Yeah, Shine Down killed it, man. What a great time with all my friends. Jackie Bam Bam in the house. Yeah, MMRBQ, awesome. Thank you, MMR. 50 years.
Next message.
You. Your dog. Everything.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.